welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. What the hell happened?
That was me. I hit you in the back like, good morning.
Hey. This is Jose and I. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, buddy.
Hey, what time is it? What's going on? 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. As I've said many times, the show gets rolling, and oftentimes steamrolls out of control at some point. But at this point, if you want to talk to us, now's the time. Now is the time you would have the greatest chance of getting through to us. Yeah. Later on, it's tough. Yes, Danny.
Topic or no topic?
Anything you want to talk about.
Open Phones America?
Open phone lines.
All right, 1-866-901-ADAM. Here's what you got, if I may.
Mm-hmm. Please.
You got Adam, Billboard's American Genius, and I no longer fight that.
Who?
I'm just down with it. It's cool. I kind of like to go that he's a savant.
Right.
So it doesn't hurt my personal feelings. But you got that going for you.
Right.
You got me with a reasonably high IQ, well-read, but dangerously unbalanced. Mm-hmm. So you've got that angle. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Teresa, who out of all of us I'm completely unclear about, but seems stable, really professional, and has won an Emmy, which I covet. And then Brian, yeah.
I don't know anyone smarter than Teresa on the FM dial.
I
would agree with you completely.
Wow.
I would agree with you completely.
It's Slim Pickens, but yes.
When I say I covered her Emmy, she didn't just get it for nothing. It was best daytime writing. And ink to paper is my thing. That impresses me.
Yeah.
You might as well be a sculptor, as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
If you can close your eyes and think, what chick's brighter, smarter, funnier than Teresa Strasser on the
FM
dial?
None of the ones I've slept with.
And, I can't think of any my own self.
Thank you.
I really can't.
So far, I'm really enjoying this show.
I caught a communicable disease once from a really smart girl, but that was it.
That was as much as you got.
As much as I got.
So 866-901-ADAM.
Phone lines lighting up.
Go good. This is cool. Well, because we don't know any more than you know. I love this crap.
Well, I think you guys know stuff, and I'm going to tell you this for later on in the show. Yesterday, we talked about my 3-month hiatus from the ex who I was asking to come back.
Mm-hmm.
He's written me a text. I'm not going to tell you what it is now.
A text.
But I'm going to ask you to interpret it later in the show because you guys have your own types of genius.
Mm-hmm.
And I am confused, and I don't know what it means.
Goodbye.
I'll read it to you later.
Okay.
I would say because it came in the form of a text, it should... If it says anything less than, I'd like to marry you this weekend, I would interpret it as not a good thing, but...
That's you. You're a caveman in that area.
We will, guess...
I'm not guessing.
No,
it's a good question.
I'm a caveman, and I don't text, but I couldn't imagine... That's what it sounds like. Yeah. I couldn't imagine... thank you. I couldn't imagine... wanting anything from somebody in an intimate way done via an electronic medium. I would pick up the phone and speak to you if I had something to say to you, good or bad.
Right.
But especially good.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's open to interpretation. I'll be looking forward to that.
Here's a text of a woman who is desperately in love with me and telling me so. There's before that is a list of a woman giving me the top 10 reasons she's in love with me. She's deadly serious. It's become a new form of communication. Getting dumped by a text would be bad.
Those are,
being told anything else really shouldn't be interpreted, I don't think, anymore.
Those are both dudes, Danny. But I can tell by the
the
font. Yes,
I know.
But
do I care?
But
Brian likes my. I mean, Brian likes my ass. That's good enough for me.
Look, you can write plenty of loving things on a text, but not when you've been separated for 3 months and you have access to a phone.
Yeah. Yeah, if that's initial contact.
The phone is the text of yesterday. That's all.
I'm not.
He should have come over. If that's your point. Then he should come over with roses.
I'm not saying, I'm all about, you don't buy a Hallmark card, you send a wonderful email instead.
That's why I'm divorcing my wife.
Fine. I don't mind that. I understand that. It's just, it's not the technology that I want to get mired in here. It's the fact that you guys haven't spoken for 3 months. And this is his attempt to speak to you is via text, as if he's somewhere where he can't get hold of you. All right, we have, let's see, man show question, loves the show. All right, but that may take a while.
No,
let me answer this question. Jason?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Jason.
What's happening, Jason?
Not much. Big fan of the Man Show, but I saw one episode, and I want to know what season it's on. You, Jimmy, and Super Dave did 100 shots of beer.
Yeah.
Got absolutely smashed.
Right.
What season is that on?
He thought I was in Vietnam, actually, after I started telling him some stories. I would say either the last season, season four, or the third season. Season, I'd say three or four. I don't think one or two, Brian.
I actually know for a fact.
Bald Brian knows
for a fact.
A big fan of the Man Show myself. It was the very last season towards the very end because Jimmy had just gotten signed to ABC and you guys talked about it during the bit.
Oh, we did talk about it.
A shot of 100 beers or 100 beers.
Each did 100 beers.
It's the cute neighbor kid. It had to happen. So was the last year.
Right. With Super Dave, yes.
God bless you, man.
Yeah.
Four. Okay, cool.
You peed on Jimmy's toothbrush.
Oh, good times.
I did that one question file for debate.
All right, so I guess season four is when it was. I remember it being late in the season, but late in the run. But I don't have much, I don't have a good recollection for that kind of stuff at all.
I was just curious. Like I said, it was my favorite episode.
Jason, did you ever try that at home?
No.
What? Then we failed. What? then it all wasn't worthwhile. Can I ask you what else was on that episode?
I don't remember. That was the one part that I watched. I had to sit there and watch it go, and I cannot believe
the man remembers every episode.
And I wanted to see how many you guys would actually get through, and you guys got through all of them.
Yes, we did, and we didn't cheat or anything, although I think Super Dave did at some point.
Not his show.
That's true. All right. Yeah, I have a better memory for the Partridge Family than I do for the Man Show.
I repeat that story all the time. You knew what she was wearing and doing.
I don't keep track of my own crap that
much. When I stopped arguing with the American Genius thing. When you did that and I was actually there filming the show, and he knew way more than I did.
What was that episode?
Here's what I can tell you. There's a girl that David thought could sing because she was so beautiful.
That's
but
right.
That's we knew
right.
She couldn't because we didn't care. But at the end, we end up in a Marine base, but I wouldn't have known that. And they screamed so loud that they couldn't tell she couldn't sing. That's all I could tell you. He did what we were
she
wearing.
She was so hot.
Right.
He did what outfit, how we got to the Marine base and what Ruben was driving. It was spooky.
Yeah, I guess it was, it was back before red wine and weed, that's for sure. I was young enough,
and I remember casually asking, when did you see, was this on Naked Night? And he went, like 30 years ago.
Yeah, and then some. You know, the thing, it's an interesting question. Kids today, so many options, what sticks? You know what I mean? Like, these shows, Partridge Family, I always use Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island as examples of horrible shows that got seared into the psyche, the collective conscience of America, and certainly people between a certain age, because we had no choice. That was it. TV was a jukebox that had four songs, and three of them sucked.
Right. That's why, like, Friends and Seinfeld had 23 million viewers. Oh, my God. We had 40 million viewers every week.
Even
three channels.
But forget about numbers. Just impact. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these shows, they come and they go. And, you know, American Idol's a huge show. But I can't tell you which episode this guy was from. I can't remember if Ruben was from season two or season four or what was going. You know, it just becomes a big blur. There's so many shows. There's so much coming at you. There's stuff coming through the computer and through the iPod. And just everywhere you go, you can't turn around without being hit with a piece of information. We didn't have much.
When I was your age, television was called books.
We sat down and we watched The Partridge Family or The Brady Bunch or whatever, Love American Style or whatever old show was on back then. And that was all that was going on. You weren't talking on a cell phone. You weren't texting Teresa Strasser saying you didn't want to get back together. You weren't doing anything. You just sat there.
Yeah.
And
there
was no finger on the pause button of the TiVo, whereas I'll just put it on pause. I'll make a phone call.
Yeah.
Then I'll watch 8 more minutes of it. Then I'll hit pause again. I'll go make a sandwich. No, you just sat there staring at it.
And made dashes. During the commercials.
And I don't know about you, Adam, but did you get in fights with your sister about what you were going to watch?
We tried to fight about everything, but there wasn't much cooking. It was like, you know, it's Wednesday night, it's 8 o'clock, Bob Newhart's on, and that's about it. You know, I didn't really want to watch Bonanza or whatever else was on. I know I'm hopping around time-wise here, but it wasn't, there wasn't much going on other than that. That's the whole thing. Yeah. Like, now, of course, everyone has a TV in the room, so they're not going to fight, but if you had one TV, there'd be a fight going on because she'd want to watch that Jacqueline Smith haircutting show on whatever, and I'd want to watch Extreme Whatever on Spike, and there would be a fight. Well, back then, it was just, hey, Rhoda's on, it's 8 o'clock, that's it. You can watch local KCAL Channel 9 news and see about gas going up to almost a dollar, but that's depressing.
23 cents a gallon when I started driving my motorcycle.
Wow.
23 cents.
And Earl Shive would paint that car for
19.
Yep. All right, let's see, Matt. Let's see. Danny needs to apologize to Teresa.
That's the one I'm going to take because this will be so brief.
Should we take this when we come back?
No, let's take one.
Oh, no. So we can be on time?
Wow.
I don't know. It's just an idea.
What was that actually early? That's amazing, though. God bless you.
All right, Lisa?
Yes.
We agree with what you have to say, but we will address it when we come back from the break. And you can tell us, why don't you tease us into the break, as we call it in the radio. Why does Danny owe Teresa an apology?
Well, she backs him constantly, and he capitalizes on his drama in his life, and then he's condescending to her.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about yesterday or in general?
Yes. Yesterday.
Yesterday when Teresa was brave enough to speak about her personal relationships on this show.
Yeah, she put it all on her sleeve.
All right.
Fair enough.
All right, like Danny will address that and possibly apologize next. Oh, let's see. We'll take a few more of your calls.
This is what we should do, buddy, but we should go 1,000 miles an hour.
I agree.
Talk to all these bastards right now. All right.
We'll take a quick break. We'll talk to the rest of you bastards next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's what's coming up this morning with Program Director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Today we'll do What Can Adam Complain About? We'll check in with Danny's tranny to see how she's preparing for the big bachelor party next week. And in studio, Macy Gray. Christ, her voice is annoying. I don't know how people deal with that raspy, grating, radio kryptonite, wheezy, smoke 10 packs a day, gravelly, bullhorn she's got shoved down her throat. Ace Man, how many times do I gotta tell you? Bad voices equals bad radio.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
How's the chance we've just been fired, dude?
He ain't up this early. All right, where were we? Yes.
Apology.
Apology. So,
and there's a reason I'm so anxious to take this call.
Lisa from Riverside?
Hello.
You think Danny owes Teresa an apology from yesterday?
Yes, I do.
Quick recap. Teresa was talking about her love life. She had a little 3-month moratorium with her man. They wanted some space. She wanted some space. She wanted some clarity.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, and it rarely does, when someone says, I want some space, it means I want the space between my legs filled by someone other than you.
Absolutely.
That's right. It really should be they want some space. My space.
Right.
They rarely call you in 3 months and say, hey, let's get back together. But that's the way Teresa felt or feels.
She took the shot.
Danny went after a little bit. I thought somewhat unfairly. She was
said so.
She was conflicted. Yes. She, you know, oftentimes, I mean, the one, it's like I'm watching Paula Abdul last night and they go, Paula, who's going to win this competition? And she's like, ah, they're both good. And geez, I don't know. And part of me is yelling, pick a horse. And the other part of me is going, I'd probably be going, they both deserve it. So Teresa was doing a little waffling. Danny dropped the hammer on her.
And then Adam, of course, dropped a little hammer on me. All good and square. So here's, Lisa, if you don't mind, here's why I wanted to go to your call so badly. Not only, A, do I completely agree with you, I think I will ask Teresa this. Did I not, off and on the air, beg your forgiveness for my intolerance and being impolite?
You did.
And I would like to do it again this morning for Lisa, who thinks that I may be that callous, that sometimes when you're on the radio and you're just flying, those things happen. Teresa and I could not be more different kinds of people, and I expect people to react as I would. And when they don't, And when they don't, I'm shocked and treat them as I would expect to be treated if I didn't do what, you know, is expected of me from me.
And you mistreated her. And you mistreated her. You mistreated her so bad that I felt so bad for her.
Well, I disagree that it was so bad.
But she's constantly sweet to you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yes, she most certainly is. And that's why, if you'll give me a moment, I am trying desperately to agree with you and apologizing not only to Teresa, but to you for noticing that Teresa always has my back. And I was rude to her.
And I have your back.
I know that. And I apologize to both of you.
I know you apologize, but I don't want to end it there. You were just pushing her buttons. And
all right, I want to end it there. Yeah, he apologized.
I apologized twice, Lisa.
Look,
after a while, you go too far.
I think part of it, Danny, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you felt like you wanted me to go farther. You wanted me to bleed a little bit more to make the bit more interesting. And that was, I can only be honest.
I wanted you to make somebody bleed a little more, just saying, like blood. But all I did in my, for me, was I reacted like you were me.
Yeah.
And I'd have spilled my guts, and I'd either hated him or I'd have loved him, and everybody knew exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
And you are a woman of character and substance, and I am not. Of gender or character of substance, and I jumped on your back, and I do once again, and I hope this works for Lisa, I do once again apologize.
Oh,
I'm
so
sorry to be rude to you.
She's ancient history. Let's see. Advice on getting married. Yeah. Josh?
Cool. Yeah.
But by the way, Teresa and I are close enough for that, though.
Yes.
That's done now.
Josh?
So yeah, just do on it, the please. From Phoenix?
What do you need, brother?
Well, I'm getting married in about 3 weeks, and I just wanted to get your guys' take on it. I know Danny probably got married fairly young, and you probably got married
30.
Fairly late.
He got married quickly, not youngly. But
he was probably attached.
How old are you?
23, just turned 24.
Mm. I was attached to a crack pipe.
Aw, yeah. Josh, are you madly in love?
I am. I do love the girl. She's amazing. She's just the coolest thing ever.
Does your heart race when she walks in the door?
What's that?
When she walks in the door and you see her for the first time of the day, do you go, wow, and your heart patters a little bit? Like, you're still shocked to see her that you get her?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
That's 23.
Maybe early on.
They've been going out for 8 months, Danny. Yeah. Come on. So, Josh, why are you getting married so young?
Because I just kind of feel like that's what you do, you know? Like, what if you get to a certain stage?
See, I think
well, what do you do besides get married young?
I'm applying to medical school. I just graduated from Arizona.
All right. Well, let's break this down. First off, the distinction between chronological age and practical age. As I was yelling at actually Dr. Drew yesterday I was speaking to, and I was saying, what's up with the 42-year-old guys wearing the cargo shorts and wearing flip-flops and talking about going wakeboarding and not wanting to have any responsibility and essentially acting like kids? You know, I know people are all looking for the fountain of youth.
Yeah.
But so dye your hair. Don't act like you're 15. You know?
I brought some with me.
I've never met more guys in their 40s that acted like they were teenagers who sat around playing video games and talking about rotisserie baseball and wearing like cargo shorts and flip-flops. Like, I can dig being casual. I dress like a slob. But these guys are intentionally trying to dress like snowboarders,
right?
So everyone thinks they're 14.
The reason I'm not embarrassed is because nobody of any age dresses like I do.
That's right.
I bedazzle because I dig it. I'm my own guy. I'm comfortable with that.
So the age that I'm talking about is, on one hand, 23 years of age, maybe young to get married. On the other hand, if this was 100 years ago, it's not. On the other hand, if you live in Wisconsin and you're going to take a job at a slaughterhouse and stay there for the next 40 years, it's not too young to get married.
No.
On the other hand, if you're starting a career in fill in the blank, it is. Let's just put it this way.
Can you juggle? So many hands.
I know.
It's like nine hands.
On the fourth hand, hickory dickory dock. If someone said they wanted to be a comedian, and there were 23, and they said, I want to get married, I'd say, buddy, give it 15 years. Yeah. You're going to be on the road. You're going to be auditioning. You're going to be
crap.
You're going to be drunk, poor.
Mad.
You're going to be flat broke. There's going to be opportunities. You're going to be out on the road playing clubs. It's not. If somebody said, I want to get a job assembling washing machines at the Maytag factory
in Fairmont. That's where I'm staying.
I'd say, buddy, get married at 15. Crap out some kids and call the life. So, Josh, you want to be a doctor. What does that mean?
As far as what?
Well, I mean, are you in med school? Are you in college? I can't tell you all the people that said they wanted to be a doctor and weren't even in college.
I can't tell you all the people that wanted to be a doctor and they put a dollar in their underwear.
I graduated from Arizona with a double degree. And another thing to consider is she is in med school as like now.
Oh, all
so.
Right. So this is quality. So you're both smart. You're both educated. You both know what you want.
So you don't, I mean, what do you think?
What's
as far
the rush,
as,
though? I still don't know why you didn't wait
to
graduate.
I just said we answered the guy's question. What
yeah, I don't.
Yes or no?
Well, he is getting married. I mean, it's in 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
All right. So my advice is get married. You set a date. I mean,
and don't call radio shows and use your real name.
Well,
this is very interesting.
But no. Here's what I'm saying. If you call me and say, should I enlist in the Army, I might say no. If you call me and say, I enlisted in the Army, I'm leaving in 3 weeks, should I go?
God bless you.
Right.
Yes.
This ship has sailed, and you might as well just enjoy it and embrace
it. But you know what? It's a good ship.
It's
not the Titanic.
Well,
this girl's going to be a doctor. You're going to be a doctor.
No.
I don't know if it'll last forever, but it's a good ship.
I'm excited. I just wanted to get your guys' input on it.
Look, there is no... Josh, obviously, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know if this thing's going to last forever or a weekend. The point is that's up to you.
We have a preference.
I would wait longer to get married if I was giving this advice to my son. On the other hand, you sound like you have your head screwed on straight, and so does she, and it's only up to you two. So I say to everybody, you know, people say, hey, statistically this and statistically that. Well, statistically, your chance of making it in the NBA is 1 in a million. But if you're 7 foot and you can run like a rabbit, you've changed your odds quite dramatically. And I feel the same way. It's between the two of you. Statistics be damned. If you want to stay married and she wants to stay married and you want to stay in love for 80 years and have some weatherman interview you 100 years from now about what it took to stay together, then God bless you. Adolfo?
How many Adolfos can there be?
Well, this is one from Irvine. Adolfo?
Yes, sorry, Adam. Good morning, guys.
Sorry.
Nice pipes, dude.
I'm actually one of your biggest fans, Adam.
Thank you.
Today I'm calling to yell at you.
All right, go ahead.
I'm calling to yell at you because you were on the Conway and Whitman show a couple of nights ago, in which you did a great job, I might add, but you did not tell your audience. Yes, and words of advice, don't treat your audience and your fan like you treat your family, and let us know because we care.
Wow.
How would
Adolfo,
I know that?
That is poignant. That is poignant.
Mistaken.
Yes, I heard the Conway Women show, which I usually don't listen to, but...
Sure, why would you?
So you're a big fan, right, Adam?
Huge.
Okay, and so therefore you know when you say don't treat your fans and family the same way and stuff... Yeah. You know he didn't bother to tell his family, correct?
Exactly.
Adam is a different kind of blowhard. Adam is not going to say, hey, make sure to listen to me tonight. I'm going to be really funny. He's a different kind of blowhard. I'd do that. I'd say, listen to me. I'm going to do something great.
Right.
Adam's a little more reserved. I don't mean to speak for you, but Adam's more reserved than I and possibly than you and just showed up and did a good job. And that's what he felt the minimum requirements
were. Well,
what
Adolfo is saying is it's unfair to the fans that want to know.
Adolfo brings up a very valid point that is universal in all our lives, maybe not the specific topic for you, but you have, and everyone, I say you, I mean everyone listening, has their own version of what I'm about to say. You take what you grew up with and you bring it into your adult life. You bring it into your relationships. You bring it into your intimate relationships, and then you bring it into your relationships like you have with listeners. My family never expressed any interest in what I was doing, so I just kept it to myself. I went out and did things, and I didn't tell anybody about it. I've gotten this argument with my wife many times. She says, why didn't you tell me you won this? Or why didn't you tell me you were going to be on that? And I would say, I would be surprised. Why would you care? And she'd say, well, of course I care. I love you. And I'd say, well, my parents did, but they weren't that interested. And she'd say, you got to stop that. I'm not your mom, your dad, your whatever. I can't turn it off.
See?
I don't think. Now, here's the sad thing. Here's the part, and this is what they call being broken. It's not that I think, geez, I should tell people who be doing this or that, they may want to. It doesn't occur to me.
It doesn't occur to Adam, and I've seen this. I know this to be true. It never occurs to Adam that he has fans.
Well, that too.
Well, what he doesn't go home and go, I have fans. I'm Adam Carolla. It's just not his style.
What I think you need to think about, Adam, is the fact that you have a Ferrari, you have a mansion because your fans care.
You know what? Adolfo makes a good point.
That's a good point, Adolfo.
Speaking of which, were you not on Carson Daly last night?
I will be. Yes. Thanks, T.
Sure.
I think it's airing tonight.
You hear that, Adolfo?
Adolfo.
I do.
Tonight. And by the way, to be fair to my parents, if I said to them, I'm going to be on Conway and Whitman, they'd say, who? And I'd say, Conway Whitman, they'd go, the country singer? Who? Who?
Can I tell you how lucky you are?
They barely know I'm on this station.
Well, I venture to say, not only would they not care, but from some of your stories, it sounds like you would almost be punished for what they perceived as bragging.
No, I wouldn't be punished. I would be, if I brought it to their attention, I wouldn't be punished. If I started to brag about it,
yes,
I'd be shot down.
Exactly.
That's how it
But you
work.
Don't know how lucky you are. I put a note up on the television about what shows I'll be on. And what, I'm serious. And Gretchen, you should watch this one. I'm really good on this one. And you could critique me and tell me what I could do better and stuff like that. And I'll come home and she won't have watched any of them.
You know, whatever you're and used to.
It break my heart, man. It's like, I did a really good job. This is all I do. This I thought up this house by thinking good sentences.
I
didn't have time to watch.
Yeah, it's... And look, don't get me wrong. I love praise. I love kudos.
Yeah.
I love thumbs up as much as the next guy. It doesn't occur to me to tell people things that I'm doing. It just doesn't occur to me.
Right. I've seen that.
It's a bad gene. It's not, again, people take it personally. Don't take it personally. I'm not keeping it from you. I'm keeping it from myself.
I don't know how important this point is, but just as long as we're making it, I've called Dawson at home and said I just did Scarborough or CNN or whatever, and there's a really funny segment all about Adam where either I make fun of him or they make fun of me for trying to hang with, but it's all about Adam and it's funny. And we've got it cut up and set up and ready to play. And Adam forgets it's there. He just doesn't think that way.
Who's Dawson?
There's that too.
David?
Yes.
You wanted to heap praise on the show?
I had a question for Danny about his Catalina trip.
Yes, sir.
All right. Says, I love the show.
I felt bad about setting the place on fire, but I was busy.
Mm-hmm. You guys didn't go?
No, they wouldn't let us go.
It was on fire.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I was going to go over there in my own boat and see if I could just kind of paddle up to the beach. But, yeah, I was told to stay away because of the fire. But I didn't hear what happened. I didn't know if you guys made it
well,
or
I'll
not.
Tell you real quickly what happened.
Catalina's an island just 26 miles off of L.A. here that was literally ablaze the weekend Danny was supposed to go there.
Right.
And
but it was all a metaphor. It was all a metaphor. My wife files for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I go home. The cops are there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty confident, and I've gone home and the cops are there a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty confident I don't have this one coming. What's this?
Right.
They're forcibly evacuating my family. The Growth Park is on fire.
The hill behind Danny is on fire.
Yeah, and houses are in trouble, and we have to go. We have to go now, and they're not playing.
Yeah, those of you who are watching the news 3 weeks ago saw two fires coming out of L.A. One of them is where Danny lived, and the other one is where Danny was going.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the metaphor.
Yeah,
My wife files for divorce. I go home. My home is about to burn to the ground, so I'm about to go do my job in paradise and hang with the listeners in Catalina, and Catalina catches fire, and I went, wow, God is not done setting my life on fire. I don't know what the next one is, but there's another fire a-coming, and I'm pretty scared of it.
Yes.
So we didn't go, sir. But we are rescheduling. We're definitely doing it.
Symbolically and metaphorically, it is weird to have.
Yeah.
Especially when something's on fire and it's surrounded by a body of water. Carlos?
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, it is weird when islands catch on fire.
But we are rescheduling. They've already come up to me and said, when can you go back? And the second they're ready for me, we're going to go do it.
Carlos?
What's happening, Adam?
What's happening, Carlos?
What's happening, Danny?
What's happening, big man?
Love you guys, man. Love the show. We'll listen every day.
Thanks,
Carlos.
Working right now in the store. Listening to you guys right now. Just had a question for Danny.
Yes, sir.
You still going to invite the Def Rag guy after he acted like a a-hole?
You know what? Here's the thing.
To
the bachelor party, the 31st. I can't tell how much of him is a-hole and how much is he misunderstands how I got this job and how much is being deaf. But I do know that after a while, he's going to get hurt. I wasn't playing last time. You know, it's my party. And if he comes to my party and does that, that'll be a problem. But I'm hoping one of his friends will pull him aside and go, you know, that guy tries to like you. Danny really tries to like you. Stop this. And then, yes, I would love to have
him.
Also,
though, you are trying to put him on a shelf.
I've known DFG.
No, I'm not.
DFG, I've known him for some time, and I can't figure him out either.
Where's my phone, yes,
Danny pushes his buttons because he wanted this job.
Yes, that's what it is.
Well, he is invited. But I really hope he brings large men with him.
Carlos?
What's that about tickets? Oh, I have a customer right now, man.
All right, we'll talk to him.
I'm
guessing it's not at the computer store.
Oh, yeah, I got a register right here.
Yeah, what are you selling?
Beer, lottery tickets here.
Perfect. Hey, Carlos, you keep doing the Lord's work. There's a 9-year-old kid standing there.
Wait, Carlos, before you go, will you say you look beautiful in Spanish to me?
Huh?
Tell me I look beautiful in Spanish. Come
that's
on.
Good enough. I think he covered
Carlos.
It.
Huh? Uh-huh.
Carlos?
Hey.
Yeah, you're muy bonito.
Thanks. Was that correct?
I think he called you hot, dude. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, are we going to see you at the bachelor party on the 31st at the Key Club?
I'm over here in Fresno, man. I wish I could.
So what? For this kind of party? Get your ass down here.
Listen, like 5 hours.
I'm
going
to lose 120 pounds.
All right.
Because I weigh pretty much.
Uh-oh. How much?
260.
Yeah, that's nothing for a man who's 5'8" and a half. That means I'm
lying. Get your ass to this party,
Carlos,
man.
Are you 5'8" and a half?
No, I put him on. He's got customers. He's got to sell lottery tickets and beer.
It's the Adam Carolla show.
But you have to get to this party. This is... gotta be fun.
Hold on. Carlos, Fresno, lottery tickets and beer, morbidly obese. I close my eyes. I just picture the south of France.
The entire south of France.
Riviera. I'm on the French Riviera. Yeah, right.
See, I just want to stick a flag in his butt and claim him for Spain. That's a big boy.
Dustin?
Yeah, good morning, Adam.
How say you, my friend?
Morning.
Good morning, Danny. Good morning, Teresa.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to let Adam know that yesterday I was at a red light, and I pulled up. Completely red. The other side was going. All the traffic had cleared.
Wow.
I thought in my mind, you know what? Adam's right. This is crap.
Red arrow.
Red arrow. Mm-hmm. I turned. I look in my rearview mirror. I see everybody staring at me in their cars, and their jaws are dropped, and I felt revitalized and free.
Yes. Right. There's nothing worse. There's nothing better. I did my move yesterday. It's nice to turn left on the red arrow when the light is green and there's no cars coming. This is something the man has done to slow us all down before we hit the grave. I am an American and I ignore it. I did this move yesterday. I drove past the pile of lemmings who are stacked up waiting to turn left at the arrow, waiting for the man to tell him when it was clear. I made the left from the next lane over front of all of them, which I love.
I don't necessarily agree with your advice, but when I'm done, I'm done. I do that one.
I see them all just piled up back there, getting smaller in my rearview mirror, and still no traffic coming their way. Yes, everybody, that's the way it works. When the man tells you to do things that are unjust, you dump the tea in the bay. That's what this country should be doing, and the red turn arrow is right at the top of that list.
Do you feel revitalized and free when you do it?
I did.
It's liberating.
And I am also campaigning for Adam to become president because he's got a good head on his shoulders, and I'm sure he's got some balls in his pants.
Thank
and
you.
Unfortunately, mine.
Thank you, Dustin.
That's why I got this job. You can have the job, but I get to hold your balls till 10.
He could sell some mattresses with that voice. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Thank you, by the way, for all you enthusiastic folks that have been calling in. And don't worry, you'll get your chance to continue calling in. I'm torn between
two
topics.
Which ones?
Well, we want to talk about neighbors. I want to know if you busted your neighbor doing anything. We want to know if your neighbors busted you.
I got something for you on that one. I got,
oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
You want to know my alternative topic?
Yes.
Yeah.
I passed the hairspray video or the hairspray billboard today, the John Waters movie.
Yeah, with John Travolta.
And I thought, well, he's making Hairspray the movie based on Hairspray the musical, except for Hairspray the musical was based on Hairspray the movie from 10 years ago. And then I thought, God damn, does John Waters suck. I mean, he's a horrible writer. If you ever see Crybaby or any of his movies, Serial Mom, he's a hack. He's a really bad comedic writer.
Who thinks?
But he has a thin mustache, and he's campy, and he's gay, and everyone gives him a pass. If he was a fat, white, heterosexual guy, everyone would scream at him. No, that's Ed Wood.
Yeah, he thinks he's Ed Wood.
Yeah.
And made Ed Wood.
He is not, although I did enjoy Ed Wood. Wait a second.
And I enjoyed Hairspray the Musical on Broadway, not the movie.
Yeah, but that was it. Look,
but he does crap.
John Waters writes crappy movies. And if anyone, look, here's the thing. You watch Crybaby, you will see 95 minutes of the worst movie you've ever seen, starring one of the best actors in the world. So that really takes some effort. I just made a movie. It's hard to make a movie horrible. Thank you. You can make a decent movie, but if you're funny, your movie's going to be at least it's going to have some smiles in it. I think John Waters is horribly overrated. And I think it's because he's kitschy and gay and whatever that he gets a pass. Because if you don't like John Waters, then you're uptight.
Yeah,
Cool. Move back to one of your red states, Mr. Homophobe.
Right.
And watch some NASCAR. No. I love gay writers. Oscar Wilde is gay and he's a great writer.
Possibly one of the greatest.
John Waters is a hack. And he hides behind the kitsch. You see, he's like a prop comic. He hides behind it. He's not funny. But he hides behind the penciled-in mustache and the kitschy, campy, whatever,
and the
gay thing.
Speak too.
And everybody leaves him alone and everyone gives him a pass. I guess what I want to know is who's overrated. Who do you think is overrated? Oh, and I'll take who is underrated.
Okay.
So, David Alan Greer is a ball of talent.
You know, I tried to tell him that, but
he's Adam
on so fast. I tried to come in because he's won a Tony and does all these voices. I was trying to tell him how
David Alan Greer
he couldn't stop being talented. Enough for me to tell him.
Right. People don't understand just how talented David Alan Greer is as a serious actor, as a Broadway singer, as a stand-up comedian, as you fill in the blank. He's there. I don't think he gets his credit.
Yeah.
John Waters, too much credit.
Yeah.
Big in the overrated department. Who's overrated? Who's underrated? Who are the actors that are overrated? Who are the writers? Who are the directors? We talk about M. Night Shyamalan. The guy gets a ton of movies. Super overrated.
Last night on Idol, Green Day. What's the... am I missing something? Are they that great?
Unless
they sucks, because I happen to think they're great.
I love Green Day, but I've seen Green Day in concert many times, and they kick ass in concert. Some of their songs are simple. Some of their ballady ones are a little bit corny, and then they kick ass in concert, and you go, wow, this is the real deal.
Right.
Then that's a whole third tier. The person you thought we were talking about, Donny Osmond, the person you think, oh, this guy's just created. Yeah. He's just Tiger Beat created this guy in the 70s, and then you see him up on stage, and you go, wow, this guy's actually has some chops. Who's overrated? Who's underrated? I think we'll push.
Is that where we're going?
Yeah, we'll do the neighbor. We'll do the neighbor thing later on, 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah, just I'm home shopping lately, so I've been hearing a lot of stories. That's all.
All right,
that's my answer. But I like this a lot.
Well, it's what we call an evergreen. Overrated, underrated. Think of who that person is for you. Make sure we've heard of them. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Scores presents Strip Club Etiquette with the Deaf Frat Guy. Today's topic, credit cards.
While it may seem like a good idea at the time, running your credit card through a stripper's butt crack like an ATM is considered a serious faux pas.
That was Strip Club Etiquette, brought to you by Scores and the Deaf Frat Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're talking about overrated. I was looking at John Waters' Hairspray coming out and thought, I've mentioned a few times in this town that I think that guy's a hack, and everyone looks at me like I'm John Lennon saying we're bigger than Jesus. Everyone's like, you're making fun of a gay guy who's a hack. And I'm like, yes, he hides behind his penciled-in mustache and his kitschy lifestyle and his homosexuality, so we can't question him. But if John Waters...
You're not saying he's a genius and you're wrong?
No.
Okay.
But there are some things you can't say you don't like. Like, you can't say The Office is a boring show. You have to like The Office, or people think you're not cool.
Right. I felt this way. Now, there's two types of overrated. As I said a million times, Little Miss Sunshine overrated because it shouldn't have been in the Best Picture category. But if I just saw Little Miss Sunshine on any given airplane flight, I'd say that's a dandy little movie there. Not a great movie. It just got overrated, I believe. But it was good. John Waters is bad. He writes, he's an unfunny writer who writes bad movies.
And drags them poor.
No one says a word about it because we're scared of being called uptight or homophobic or whatever it is. Uncool. Or worse, we don't get it.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Oh, let me get this straight. You're heterosexual. You come from the Valley. You're a white guy. You were a jock in high school. You don't get it then, do you? No, I do get it. It's bad. It sucks. And nobody wants to say anything. And if John Waters was just a heterosexual white guy who was married with three kids, I don't even know if he'd be working. He would be considered that big a hack.
He walks into the movie. It's like, you know, when they say make up their mind if they're going to have sex with you in the first 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
If John Waters has an idea and walks into your office, you think, I'm going to bankroll this guy or not. Off his pencil mustache.
Yes.
He's a genius. Yeah. He's some kind of, you know.
And you were saying everyone says M. Night Shyamalan is a genius. You think he just had the one good movie, Sixth Sense?
Signs. Was it Signs? The
Signs
other
was
one?
Good too, yeah.
No.
The Village.
The first half of Signs was good. The end where you could kill the aliens with a garden hose and a baseball bat.
Swing away.
The aliens couldn't break into the guy's root cellar, even though it had just a little barrel bolt lock. It took them all night, and then you could kill them with a hose. This planet is 3/4 water. When you see it from outer space, it looks like a huge duck pond.
Yeah, you think, why would you come here?
And why would you land in a field that's being irrigated every 20 minutes if water kills you? Now, the movie was done.
That might have a point.
The movie was done well, but it sucked at the end.
And then he blew with his blowhard thing about, I'm the most profitable filmmaker alive. He said that because his films cost so little and gross $65 million.
Yeah.
That on profit, percentage-wise, he's the most profitable filmmaker. And then he did that whole Lady in the Water thing.
Yeah.
He said, watch this. And then he just died.
I would say...
Lady drowned in the water.
Overrated, but not a hack.
Right. Yeah, okay. I'm with you. I think
John Waters is basically a hack. I think M. Night Shyamalan is overrated. It's like... Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Nick Cage makes a lot of horrible movies.
Yes.
And doesn't get much crap for it. People are still talking about Leaving Las Vegas.
Right. Raising Arizona.
That was 14 years ago, 15 years ago. Raising Arizona was in the 80s, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
He's done 1,000 hackneyed horrible movies since then and doesn't get enough crap.
Yeah, you know, Nicolas Cage and M. Night Shyamalan have something in common, which is they did one thing incredibly well, and they get a lot of passes after that.
Oh, right. I think Nick Cage did more than one thing well. I think I'm a fan. I'm just...
Yeah. He's definitely done some good work. But he's done some horrible movies, too. Bill?
Morning.
Who should we put on the overrated list?
No question about it. The most overrated woman in the history of show business has got to be Jennifer Lopez.
I concur.
Concur.
I'm going to say that people don't rate her highly. People always make fun of her voice. And
tell that to her checkbook. Yeah.
Tell her to that 3,500 thread sheet count thing.
Right.
I shouldn't even know what that is, and I only know it is because she exists.
A lot of people sleep on Egyptian cotton. She sleeps on Egyptians. She actually has Egyptian peasants lie down and form a futon that she can sleep on every night. Well, listen, Bill, I'm with you in the sense that, first off, this is the chick that all the other chicks want us to fall in love with because she has a big ass.
I don't like her
and
ass.
Small boobs.
Hate her ass.
Really?
Right.
That's my point.
Her face is gorgeous, though.
She's pretty, just like half the Hispanic chicks you pass by on the street. I mean, they have dark skin, clear skin, and nice hair, and they're oftentimes very pretty in the face. She's just another one of them, as far as I can tell. She's a mediocre actress. She's a mediocre singer. I will give her the sort of P. Diddy Award for being an all-around entrepreneur, but I don't know exactly what she does.
But as for beauty and talent, you throw a rack on Mario Lopez, I'd do him first.
Done and done.
Yeah, he's prettier.
I already beat you there, Bonaduce.
Did you beat me to Mario, you bastard?
Shouldn't have said that. All right, let's see. Andy has one I think I may disagree with a little here. Andy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Overrated.
You. Jeff Goldblum, no matter what movie he is in, he's the same guy. I don't think he's acting.
Okay,
so what?
Just himself.
All right. But so is De Niro three quarters of the time, and De Niro gets to be De Niro, and same with Jack Nicholson and people like that, you know?
A guy hit on my wife, and I didn't even kill him. That's how talented I think he is. No, Goldblum.
Yeah, he does a lot of that, too.
That's
where, that's where his real talent lies.
Oh,
well,
he's a hound?
Hit on my wife right in front of me.
Who did he hit on?
Like, with Paul Disdain, right in front of me. Like, I wouldn't do anything to him.
Well,
I would.
Andy Dick's. Remember Andy Dick's super hot girlfriend?
Yeah.
Talk to Andy about her and Jeff
girlfriend. Ooh. Big deal.
Yes, it goes much deeper than I could ever get into. But the point is he very quietly... Look, there's two types of successful male actors. There's the peahounds, and then there are the peahounds who you don't know are peahounds.
Yeah. Right?
Those are the two types of guys in Hollywood. Jeff Goldblum is the peahound who you don't know is a peahound.
Yeah, hides behind his Jeff Goldblum.
All you have to do is start saying...
Stuttering.
Sort of David Spade is one of these guys. All you have to do is stop 10 people on the street and five of them will tell you some story about him trying to F their girlfriend or whoever.
Yep. But
it's quiet.
I'm kind of cool with that.
See, you know the guys that wear it on their sleeve, and then there's the quiet guys, the snake in the grass. That's Goldblum. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We have one I do sort of agree with, although I like him as a human being. Chris?
Yes.
Who's overrated?
Oh, my God. Kevin Smith.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yes.
I sat through Clerks, and I thought, what am I missing that this is some kind of brilliant debut film?
Oh,
I didn't get it.
I didn't get Clerks, and I didn't get much after that. I think he's an intelligent guy. I think he's a smart guy. But I don't know why you make one movie that's what I would call sort of mediocre. Look, for $8,000, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
But it's not a great movie just compared to other movies. And then you just get to make movies for the rest of your life based on that effort from 10 years ago.
Yeah. You want to see a great movie that costs nothing to make? Go watch The Hammer.
Yeah. Dude, you hasn't even seen it.
I've seen it.
I know where
curious.
My bread is buttered.
I was going to say porn, but go ahead.
I know where my bread is buttered.
What was the budget of The Hammer?
Oh, I was about to tell you.
But
it was quite a bit more than that. Oh. But they said, stop saying how much, because when you're trying to sell it, if you made it for $5 million, people offer you $6 million. But if you made it for $1 million, people offer you $1.5 million.
Got it.
They
got
factor
it.
That in. So they told me to shut up about, but I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about. John, Corey?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, my whole thing about, like, the John Waters comments that you were making is John Waters movies are kind of in their own little category.
Right, because if they're in the comedy section, you would burn it down.
Yeah, but they're actually more cult favorites.
Right.
Kind of like Rocky Horror Picture Show is.
But I do think, I have this theory, and nobody can talk me out of it, so don't bother trying. This is the performance artist theory, I call it. Rembrandt didn't need to stand on a milk crate in Times Square and drop his pants because he was a master. He could paint. He was an artist.
Right.
The performance artists are guys that don't have talent, yet they would like to be artists, so they insist on doing it. That's what the prop comic is, and that's what John Waters is. He's quirky because he can't be funny. You can't judge quirky. You can't judge performance art. You see, if you go...
Because you're an idiot. Usually.
If you go see a guy do stand-up comedy and he's not funny, you go, I'm judging. That guy sucked. You see him do spoken word, you can't judge.
No. A guy does this on stage...
He just did a plié.
Adam, this is radio.
You're now the loser that didn't get it because you're not bright enough.
Right.
Right. Or you're uptight because you don't want to see Divine ingesting excrement.
Yeah. Come on, buddy. Yeah, who are you, Heloise? You don't want to see a tranny eating dookie? Please. Oh, your pinky finger's not sticking out, Your Highness, when you're drinking your tea.
Oh, sorry. It's not a football game.
All right. I want to hear, speaking of overrated, I just heard a little bit of the new poll. Thank you. Oh, no. I heard just a little bit of the new Paul McCartney song. This is his new single. Stations are forced to play because he's Sir Paul McCartney.
I've got too much on my plate.
Ooh.
Don't have no time to be a decent lover.
hope it isn't too late.
Do you know what this song's called?
Seaside? Is there a Seaside? I know there's a B-side.
There's a C word. It's costing me a lot of money.
Huh.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Ever present fast. You. There you go. Nice job.
I think this is a lot of Heather's costing me $200 million. Gotta cut a song.
Well, let's just turn off for a second and dig it. Everything to be discovered. This is the guy wrote yesterday. Alright. Diddy at best, but a kind of crappy song right there. Maybe you should just knock it off when you're 45 in the creative department. I've seen Woody Allen. I've seen Paul McCartney. 47 and a half, 48, whatever you are. Your grandfather didn't, Bonaducci. Okay, you're on TV when you're a zygote.
You're out.
The point is, I should have padded that for myself, too. The point is, this guy was a genius, and now he's doing weird ditties. He's doing the kind of stuff that if somebody was in a retirement home and left alone with a Casio would call you into the room and go, here's what I did. And you'd go, thanks, Grandpa. Don't you think it's time for your nap? Yes, the guy was a genius. Maybe he needed Lennon. Maybe I need Kimmel. Damn it.
We're all you have.
Oh, no.
I'm so sorry.
You guys are my wings.
Yeah,
we're my Beatles.
Wings. We're your wings. Or worse, you're Michael Jackson.
Well.
Dude, I'm not even Ringo, man. I'm John.
Let's.
I'm not even going for that crap.
Let's talk. We got to take a break, but I just want to give everyone some love here. John on line one says Nirvana overrated.
Maybe.
Have some great songs. Have some that aren't as good, but they ushered in a change.
Yeah.
And for that,
plus the lead guy blew his brains out.
That
gives him.
Plus,
legitimacy in
there's
my book.
A thing, you know, where they people go. Well, that guy wasn't the greatest heavyweight. He was only 160 pounds. He was the best we had then, and he created some change,
right.
And we can't measure today's against theirs. But all right, Brad Pitt. Uh-oh. Here's
Don't
another Paul
crazy.
McCartney song. God damn, it's a horrible song.
What is this?
Come on, Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Say.
Everyone
just
for
listen
Ebony
to this song for a second.
Say.
I think I'm going to spring ovaries if I listen to this long enough.
Is it weird for two guys to do kind of a love duet?
Not if one of them's Michael Jackson.
Right.
Not if their combined weight is under 200 pounds.
At the time, though, Michael Jackson was considered normal.
Yeah, and 5 minutes after the song, he bought McCartney's music library.
Yeah.
McCartney never
now, this is back
him.
When he was a chick, before he was a Martian.
Right.
Yeah.
First, he was a black kid.
Yeah,
then
this
he was a white girl.
Right.
And then he became an alien.
This song is horrible. Adam Sandler, overrated.
I couldn't agree more.
Couldn't agree more.
Never laughed at anything he's done.
Let me say this.
Seems like a nice guy.
Let me say
but
this.
Yes, I agree.
One trick pony. But a great trick.
Oh,
he
you know
makes
what?
Hundreds of
Hold
millions
on.
Of dollars.
I'm
going to
disagree with myself. I like him when he does the dramatic roles occasionally.
Yeah,
Punch Drunk Love was good. All right.
See, I disagree. I just think people are so tired of seeing him do his retarded character that they gave him too much praise for Punch Drunk Love. I thought that movie was crappy and overrated.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
All right.
Punch Drunk Love was interestingly shot.
Yeah.
But not a very good
And
strip.
Marilyn Rice Cub was good.
But I heard Spanglish was good, by the way.
I like Spanglish.
That's why I didn't see it. I didn't want to be colored. Kevin Costner overrated? Yes. John Madden overrated? John Madden's John Madden. That's just one of those things. I don't want to call him overrated. He makes billions of dollars for just bumbling on a microphone. Mm. But he's just him. You know what I mean? It's like I say all the time, a Big Mac is not a great hamburger. It's a Big Mac.
Right.
It's hard to compare it to other things. It is what it is. Oprah and Denzel Washington overrated.
I can't.
I'm going to go
with
neither.
I can't even humor this. That's ridiculous.
Denzel, all he has to do is that one scene in Glory with the tear rolling down his eye without any other
single
inflection.
Single tear.
That was
a glycerin.
Phenomenal.
And Oprah, I believe, I hate hate to admit this. I think she improved the country a little bit.
Yeah.
I think her Book of the Month Club made people read that didn't.
Well, look,
I think she's done some good.
Child predators.
Look, there's two types of blowhards. There's I'm going to get a leather vest and wax my body up and scream from a bullhorn how great I am. And then there's I want a library named after me so everyone can remember my name.
Right.
Well, I'll live with that kind of blowhard because it cost you $100 million and now we have a library. Enough. That's the place where they hide the books, right?
Well, they loan them out.
No, they loan them out there.
Hold on a second. Who wants to borrow books? Get out of here, you two. You know what? I'm going to talk to Angie and get the truth. We need to take a break. They hide them in that place. I've seen old people try to get to them.
They borrow them to read them.
I went in one of those places to go to the bathroom, the Libertarian. And I saw an old guy trying to wrestle one away from some chick, and I told him, I tackled his ass to the ground. I said, this is where they keep the books,
Danny,
and they hide them here.
I'm telling him that his taxes pay for the library, but I don't want to upset him.
I'm thinking about something. We never got to tell him who we think is totally overrated.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. Tee up the news.
I don't know if you guys heard any of the feud yesterday that went down on The View, but let me just play you this.
Rosie, big, fat, lesbian, loud Rosie.
She got into it with Elizabeth, and it was bloody.
My wife, probably because she doesn't have a lot on her plate.
Except for the two kids she's raising of yours.
She supervises the nanny. She's raising the nanny. She raises Olga, who raises the kids.
I love Olga.
She came running down the stairs last night, The View. Did you see The View? Of course, I get the disc in advance so I can watch East Coast feed before. What did you turn?
Insane.
Is she what Rosie is doing with Elizabeth?
I said, no.
Whose side is she on? I said, I saw. I think she's in Rosie's camp, I think. I said, I saw it on Entertainment Tonight. Oh, you did not
they
see. Get upstairs right now. I said, no.
This is
my wine drinking. Period. I'm not going to go watch these two titans go at it in the ring. So I heard about it, and I saw what Extra showed of it.
Right.
But I'm interested. We'll take a quick break. We'll hear who Dan and T think are overrated, and then we'll get to the news next on The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, The Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Sea lions are stealing fish from local fishermen, and they just want to eat. But it is costing the state millions of dollars. Details of the fish fight coming up next.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Quickly, based on a phone call we got about a half hour ago, was a fan upset that I never say where I'm going to be or what I'm going to be doing. So my fans can come see me, which I don't believe exists. But if you are real, I, Adam Carolla, am going to be doing a live lecture at the Skirball Center. You remember the Skirball Center?
Yeah.
That's where Enos Cosby got shot.
Right off the 405 there.
Across the street from me, yeah.
Yeah, on Skirball. He got shot on Skirball, and
boy, maybe you shouldn't tell people where you're going to be because you suck at it.
Good point. I was passing right by on the 405 on my way home from Loveline about the time he was getting shot on the side of the road. I remembered when the police said the time of death.
I'm doing a symposium on true love, and I'm doing it at Dachau.
That's right.
I don't think you're that good at that.
Take the first train. Go see Danny. So, anyway, Skirball Center, June 1st. Don't know what day that is. I think it's a Monday. I don't know what day it is.
Friday.
Yeah.
June 1st, 7:30. Just me in a candid lecture interview put together by the LA Times. And you just get reservations at www.zocalola.com.
Are you sure it's not S-O, SoCal?
So, it says Z, but...
I'm guessing it's SoCal, but I'm...
It must be SoCal, because otherwise...
No, they're nodding at me, Zo.
ZoCalOla? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm a horrible... would you read that? I read it at third grade level, and third graders are pissed, by the way. They think that's an insult.
Here's what it says.
Smarter than a five-year-old.
You're right. Z-O-Cal, as in California, Ola. is in Corolla, zocalola.com. I'm sure we'll have information on adamcarolla.com.
All right, so if you want to come see me, get those tickets, Skirball Center now.
Oh, you know who's putting this together? Megan Dom. She's the writer for the LA Times, excellent writer, who wrote that piece about you.
Loves me, hates Bonaducci.
Right.
Wasn't going to say anything about that, but she's a good writer, and I'm sure that's going to be a nice conversation.
Ah, she's turned the corner by now. We'll take a step backwards, get T and Danny's overrated, and then we'll do the news. T, what do you got?
You know what? I actually I have an underrated Tom Cruise. I think he's a very, very fine actor.
I do.
And people make fun of him. He can act.
I agree. I thought the big hubbub about him being nuts a year ago was Much Ado About Nothing. First off, aren't all actors nuts? I mean, Marlon Brando.
Right.
What was he doing? Hanging out with his kids at the Y all day? Or was he just eating peyote and humping Indians up on a hill while he was eating like a mutton chop?
And
buying an island. Like this performer, first off, performers are nuts. Actors are nuttier than your basic performers. So what? Cruise is nuts. He does good movies. He does good work.
Right. He didn't break the law. He jumped on a couch because he was in love. What about you, Danny?
All
right.
I jump on the couch. No, I set her couch on fire. Nobody would care. They go, oh, Danny.
Do you have an under overrated?
Yes. I think I might take a beating. T-Rex.
The band.
Completely overrated.
The dinosaur or the band?
Both, actually. I could
bang a gong?
Yeah.
T-Rex?
Yeah. Great guy, a couple of wonderful, poetic.
All the young
lizard
dude.
King.
No, it's Mott the Hoople.
Mott the Hoople. I think he had a couple of genius tunes, but as a whole, I think T-Rex is incredibly overrated.
Wow, the kids, the phone lines are going to light up. The kids are pissed.
It's these type of hip references that keep Jack Silver happy with this morning show.
And you'll love the other one.
Well, the only reason we're giving you crap on T-Rex is I only know this song. But I never hear anyone say about talk. I don't see them written on any of the kids' vans.
See, I see people think like Clapton is God.
Right.
I still see those guys. They're 14, and it's on their skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
Their people hang on. T-Rex, totally overrated.
All right.
Hemingway. Totally overrated.
I've never read any of his books.
All of them.
You know what? I want to like Hemingway more than I do. I loved Old Man in the Sea, and then I tried to get through A Movable Feast, and I had trouble.
Sucks.
All right. You guys are speaking Martian again.
Sorry.
What's that place where they hide the books?
The library? Well, they keep them there.
Hide them. It's a big building. They're not hiding
them
from you.
For free. You borrow them for free, and then you bring them back.
All right. So let me give you let me see if I understand this. Let's just say you're at home.
Right.
And you're eating at your dining room table.
Yeah.
And the thing's got a weird tilt in it. Like each time you put your coffee cup down, it leans down a little.
Matches under
so you go to that place where they hide the books.
Library.
And you'd get one of the thinner ones. And you'd slide it on a leg. And they'd let you do that for a while before you had to bring it back.
You could use it for that.
Yeah.
But generally, they're for reading.
Hmm?
You know Old Man in the Sea, which we just mentioned, the Hemingway, but we could borrow it for free.
But they made that book so they could make the movie with what's-his-name, right?
No, I think they just made it for people to enjoy reading.
No, just the movie guys read those, and then they decide whether they should make the movie or not.
Some books aren't even made into movies, Adam.
Hold on. I've seen books. Yeah. I want to say, first off, that's an outrage and untrue.
and I refuse swear to
believe
it's true.
It. No, I don't believe
books
it.
For 2 hours
and secondly, I've seen ones that just had words in them and no pictures.
Yeah. Most books don't have pictures.
Dude, I saw one. You can scratch all day and still not smell anything.
I'm serious. There are 400-page books.
Enough of your lies.
All right, I'm sorry.
Enough of your lies. 400-page books with no pictures.
No pictures.
In that place where they hide the books.
The library.
Let's just move forward, T. Okay. I'm starting to get angry now.
Sorry.
Whatever. What do we got?
News.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
A millionaire couple on Long Island is accused of keeping two Indonesian women as slaves in their home and abusing them for many years. The two run a perfume business out of their home. They were arrested last week after one of their servants was found wandering outside a donut shop on Long Island wearing only pants and a towel. The woman was believed to have fled the home while she was taking the trash out the night before, trying to get free.
Mm-hmm.
So now this couple has been arrested, and some of the things they're accused of, they tortured these slaves, allegedly, made them eat 25 hot chili peppers at a time, wouldn't feed them enough, they had to steal food, they were forced to sleep on a mat.
That's a frat house.
Okay.
So what you do in a frat house.
Amazing. So you added the word torture.
Yeah.
And then I had to back up right up until the word torture. I was thinking, you know, if you go to all the trouble to become rich, you should be able to own an Indonesian or two.
You think
so? Yeah.
But maybe not torture them.
No, that's wrong. Well, these, treat them nicely, but you should just possess them.
These women were
indentured servitude, baby. Get with it. Right. It's 07.
You're right. They were...
18 or
they arrived here legally, and then this couple allegedly confiscated their passports and refused to let them leave the house.
How's that initial pitch go? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think they said, we'll pay you to work here, and refused to pay them.
That's the way it apparently happens in the Middle East. They get you to come over, and then they take your passport, and you can't leave.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Right. They get hot chicks to come over for parties, and then they never get to leave the Sultan's palace.
But you know who gets a bad rap on that? Is the Sultan of Brunei.
Yeah.
Like, he's the chief bad guy.
Right.
He owns the Beverly Hills Hotel. He does all sorts of business here. He doesn't kidnap anybody. People go totally willingly.
Right. But he has 140 cousins that do nothing but rape.
Right. I've heard that.
Right.
I personally like the guy.
In the entertainment world, the big story yesterday was the showdown between Rosie O'Donnell and Elizabeth Hasselbeck on The View. And it's a little hard to pinpoint exactly what fueled the dispute, but it seems that Rosie was upset that Elizabeth wouldn't defend her against conservative critics who says Rosie thinks she's being misinterpreted. And then Elizabeth argued that Rosie should defend herself. Anyway, the catfight escalated. Here's round one.
You just said our enemies in Iraq. Did Iraq attack us?
No, I'm saying Al-Qaeda.
Okay, did Iraq attack us, Elizabeth?
Iraq did not attack us,
Correct.
Rosie. We've been there before. Well, I'm saying our enemies, Al-Qaeda. Are you hearing that?
I hear it, but where do you want to go, Bub?
Political discussion. Don't interview each other. Just say what you mean. If you're playing a game, okay? If you're playing a game and I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to throw to my wide receiver, wide right, okay? Do you do that? I'm going to do it in 2 seconds. What does that do for your enemy?
Well, you know what, Elizabeth? If the enemy are innocent civilians, I don't want to play that kind of football.
The enemy are not innocent
civilians. Iraq didn't attack us.
Wait a minute. I am not
innocent.
Don't yell at each other. Enemy. Please, let's have a conversation.
You know why I don't want to do this, Joy? No, let me tell you why I don't want to
do it.
Because here's how it gets spun in the media. Rosie, big, fat, lesbian, loud Rosie, attacks innocent, pure Christian Elizabeth. And I'm not doing it.
Yeah, well, okay. Let's just break down Rosie's game film for a second. Elizabeth is everything she resents in life. She's
privileged.
The pretty blonde cheerleader.
Yeah.
She was the heavyset girl with the kinky hair who was struggling with her sexuality through high school. Most people work this way, sadly. They just take what they wish they were and they turn against it. Elizabeth Hasselbeck, they don't see eye to eye politically, but there's plenty of friends who I hang out with who I don't see eye to eye. I don't argue with them all day.
Yeah.
Right. Rosie resents this little blonde, attractive pixie who has a picture-perfect American heterosexual wife with a professional football-playing husband and so on and so forth. So she's already on Rosie's last nerve. I guarantee if she was a big diesel dyke and 80 pounds overweight, Rosie would look at her.
Bonding.
And there would be, they would break bread, except for it'd be a funnel cake. They would have a kinship over eggnog. They would realize their common ground.
Now, is that an overall thing or just these two?
In general, and I would say women more so than men.
I agree in general, but I do have an exception.
I think a woman will look at a skinny, younger, more attractive, whatever woman with some envy in her eyes and have a little disdain for her, just a little bit. Guys don't do quite as much as that. Guys do that. All right, he's taller than me and he's got six-pack abs, but he don't have my bank account. You know what I mean?
Right.
We'll figure out different ways to rationalize, justify, reclaim some of our identity.
Right.
Women, it's purely aesthetic. Rosie is a train wreck.
She is
a pixie.
Right.
And we're already off at a bad start. And the other thing is the little pixie's not rolling over when you come charging at her.
Right.
She's firing back. Now you're really angry. Plus, Rosie has a eating and personality disorder. I think she's funny.
Yeah,
I think she's smart.
Other people's personalities.
I love watching her and all that, but she has a chip on her shoulder and she doesn't know she's alive unless she's being flogged by society. people, these folks are out there. They're everywhere. They don't know they're alive until somebody's accusing them of something. And then they get to say, why is it all I want to do is do my job and everyone turns on me. Everyone accuses this. Everyone comes at that. Again, that is the goth student who wants to go hang out by the jock locker room until he gets his ass kicked. And then he gets to go home and say, everyone hates me. Right.
I'm with you.
Take off the eyeliner and stay away from the jocks and you'll be just fine.
And I hate anybody that wears a uniform anyway. If you're going to tell me your alternative, yet you dress like all your friends.
Right.
You know, go to one of your wild emo parties in a suit and tie or a Chanel dress. And then your alternative.
Right.
Do you want to hear round two?
Oh, really?
No, I've got round three if you have time.
Let's do it.
Let's hear round two.
People were criticizing you for saying that because it suggested something, okay? So I said, look, take your opportunity now. You have a show right now to tell the world.
I didn't want to take my opportunity to tell the world.
Why?
I wanted to know what people like you, but you are my friend since September.
Yes.
Do you believe that I think our troops are terrorists?
You
would not even look me in the face, Elizabeth, and say, no,
Rosie,
I can understand how people might have thought that. Why don't you take this opportunity like I'm six?
Because you are an adult, and I am certainly not going to be the person for you to explain your thoughts. They're your thoughts. Defend your own insinuations.
I defend my thoughts.
Defend your own thoughts.
Right, but every time I defend them, Elizabeth, it's poor little Elizabeth that I'm picking on.
You know what? Poor little Elizabeth is not poor little Elizabeth,
that's
okay?
Right. That's why I'm not going to fight with you anymore, because it's absurd. So for 3 weeks, you can say all the Republican crap you want.
Now, Hasselbeck makes a
mistake. I thought the kid won that round.
Hasselbeck
I did, too.
Here's the
I
only thing
too.
She did wrong, which is a mistake I often make. You can hear her getting emotional instead of just making her points.
Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She won if you were reading it. But when you hear it, she sounds agitated.
That was a 10-9 round easily.
You think?
Yeah.
You give it to
her? Yeah, absolutely.
You give both the first two rounds to Elizabeth.
No, I didn't pay attention too much to how Elizabeth did on the first one. I just went with a blowhard.
I wasn't
knowing that more was going to come up.
I was focusing on Joy Behar.
Trying to.
I normally hate her, but I feel sorry for her
now. The fight just started.
Yeah.
It's 1-0 little blonde girl.
Elizabeth.
Okay.
You want to hear round three now?
I think Rosie took the first round.
Yeah, okay.
And Elizabeth fired back and won the second
round.
I agree. And now we're into the rubber
match. And now, when we go to the end of the, what'd you call it, the rubber match?
Mm-hmm.
Just know here that clearly they should have gone into commercial, but the producer was way too smart for that. And now they've split screen, so they don't miss a single moment of each other's faces reacting. It's magic. Here's round three.
Because I don't understand how there can be such hurt feelings when all I did was say, look, why don't you tell everybody what you said? I did that as a friend.
All you did is not defend me. I asked you if you believed that I thought
that... You couldn't answer your own question. I don't believe that your suggestion was right.
Every day since September,
yes,
I have told you I support the
troops. I have done the same for you.
I asked you if you believed what the Republican pundits were saying.
Did I say yes?
You said nothing, and that's cowardly.
No.
Nothing.
That is not... Do not call me a coward, because number one, I sit here every single day,
so
open my heart, and tell people exactly what I believe.
So do I, Elizabeth.
Do not call me a coward, Rosie.
I
do not
yesterday.
Hide. It was not cowardly. It was.
It was
honest. What is cowardly?
Is there
asking
no commercial in the show?
First off, I'm tired of people arguing where they go, what you did was cowardly, and you go, don't call me a coward, and they go, I didn't call you a coward. I said what you did.
Was cowardly.
Thank you. How you live your life in your essence is of a coward. I did not say you.
Right.
Please.
I didn't call you gay. I said offering oral sex to that man.
Having anal sex is gay.
You're not gay.
I also feel bad for the heavyset woman of color, number 155, who they put in there to fill in.
Yeah,
here's
Sherry
the deal.
Shepherd.
If you're a white chick, we need to have heard of you to fill in over on The View.
Right.
If not, you'd just be a husky black chick and you can just sit in. I think there have just been homeless black women who have staggered in off the street and sat down and just sat in on The View. I see black chicks on that show. I don't know. Like, friends of Gayle King's friends are on that show.
Well, who do you give that round?
Who was that black chick?
I think she was Sherry Shepherd.
The famous Sherry Shepherd. I have her poster up in my pool room. Sherry Shepherd.
Right next to Farrah Fawcett.
Sherry.
That is her name. Sherry Shepherd.
Right. Is there a human being that is listening to this radio show that has heard of Sherry Shepherd?
I don't know who she is, but I know that's her name.
Thank you for proving my point, baby. And you, who know what every chick in Hollywood is up to, especially your enemies. Who is every chick in Hollywood?
Yep. Hasselbeck, she did beat me out for that job.
You don't know who Sherri Shepherd is.
I know.
That's my point. And you know everybody. Yeah, I like
actress.
Tell you, this has been boot camp, lesbian boot camp for little Elizabeth Hasselbeck. She started off as just a little pixie blonde, and now she's a battle weary, hardened soldier. She's a veteran.
Get on your knees.
I thought she was rattled in round three.
And hasn't physically changed, though. She's still this hot little blonde that fights back. That's the one. Remember, I told you if I was picking a girl, I'd go the one that has dinner ready at 7, but once a month jumps out of the closet with scissors saying, I'll kill you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now she turned into her, and I really like her.
I'll tell you who the real loser in this fight is.
Me.
Hasselbeck's husband, Bonaducci, because now he has, first off, when you're charged up at work, you don't cool. You know what it's like? When you work out really hard, and then you take a quick shower and you put your clothes on, you sweat for another 2 hours.
Right.
She comes home still fired up, still eager for the fray, and her husband's there. And now there's no more. The pixie he married, that's gone.
That's over.
It's now the fiery, one who wants to scrap and go at it. So he's probably saying, you know, honey, maybe I'll take the kids this side. Oh! So you think I'm just a chauffeur? Yeah. I'm supposed to sit around with you? But, you know, she's probably invigorated, renewed, and going at it with the guy every goddamn day.
Well,
he should sue Rosie for creating a monster.
Everyone should sue Rosie.
That's a good point.
And also, did you think that football metaphor may have come from him? I was like, where'd that come? I mean, I'm sure she knows the
game.
She's
great, but she has to live with a football player. Yeah. So she's like, if you're doing a Z fly, flanker post, and you got the H back, and he goes in motion. So he's in the slot position.
Yeah.
He's running this out of the shotgun.
Okay.
He goes ahead and pumps to the flanker.
Right.
You have the wide out run a hitch, and then we go with the hook and lateral. That's the same thing you're doing to me, Rosie.
Well, what in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Can I learn about this in the place where they lend out those books I heard about?
Well, I got to call in Audible. Do I have time to play the idle results, or do we have to go to break?
Yeah, let's hear them.
All right, here last night, big American Idol finale. Here's what happened.
After a world record vote of 74 million, the winner of American Idol 2007 is Jordan Sparks!
We'll be talking a little bit more about American Idol later. Meanwhile, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Poor Jordan. I know I say it every time, but she found the only man smaller than Ryan Seacrest, and that's the guy she was up against, Blake. So he stands next to Seacrest. He's an inch shorter than Seacrest, and you just see her shoulders and Adam's apple in the frame. You don't even see her head.
She's out of frame, yeah.
Jordan is probably all of 5'6" and a half or 5'7", but she looks like a behemoth. She looks like one of those big... She looks like one of those big styrofoam guys that stands in front of like a tire store, like a truck. He's like
Michelin man.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, she looked thrilled when she got to duet with Ruben.
She's Paulette Bunyan. Yes, but finally she gets the big velvet teddy bear in there, and she looks like a normal girl again.
I'm 5'6" and a half, and so is he, and I look giant next to that guy. He just vanishes.
Seacrest.
He just vanishes.
Hey, Christy.
Yeah.
You know the black chick who was on The View who had to sit there while Rosie and Elizabeth went at it?
I know who she is.
Sherri
Shepherd. She is an actress, had a few failed sitcoms.
Huh.
And one of them was Less Than Perfect with, I think his name was Andy Dick.
Oh, yeah, Less Than Perfect. Okay, I know the show.
Well, the reason they brought her on was because probably 6-7 months ago, she came on the show because she had a new failed sitcom coming out.
Well, because she's black is why she's on the show. I don't want to sound like a dick, but that's why she's on the show. There's four white chicks on the show. And if you're gonna make it five white chicks, you have to have heard of the fifth white chick.
Which I know how right you are from my personal experience. On the other half, we had this doctor guy the first year, an African-American, Harvard-educated, brilliant. But people didn't like him. He didn't test well. So they fired him, and they hired this other black guy, and he sucked. And there was just an open meeting. Nobody actually said these words, but everybody knew, we can't fire the second black guy. There's no way.
Now you fired two black guys.
Yeah, now you're the show that
fires black guys. And furthermore, you can't fire the black doctor and replace him with a Jewish doctor.
No.
You got to get another black doctor.
Exactly.
Right. Otherwise, it's a step backwards.
No, so it's true. You're absolutely right.
Well, Hasselbeck's there for one reason, because she's a Republican, and they needed that viewpoint represented.
Right.
She's not the sharpest or the most beautiful. She's just Republican.
Well, she's cute.
Hard to find. She's cute. Yeah.
And she's young and Republican, right, which is hard to find.
Absolutely. And they wanted somebody that housewives could relate to.
Look, I know what I'm saying here isn't going to win me any elections. I'm just saying I watched a few because my wife forces me to. And I'm pee-whipped on Sundays.
Yep.
And every Sunday I go, who's that black chick? And my wife goes, that's so-and-so. And I go, who's she?
Well, Adam, apparently you have not seen Who's Your Caddy? Because I've just looked up Sherry Shepherd.
All right. Well, now it takes a big man to admit when you're wrong. Because when you're playing the nosy neighbor and Who's Your Caddy from UPN circa 1991.
Apparently you didn't see a little show called Kim Possible.
Thank you. Now I can sleep Kim tonight. Possible.
That's an animated show.
Yeah, but it's
the
a
Wedding
good,
Bells.
It's a good one.
And remember that canceled show, The Wedding Bells? She was on that a few times.
Yeah, but there's an ensemble cast of 28.
Yeah, I think she worked in the wedding shop or something.
All right. Christy?
Yes.
You know way too much about heavyset black actresses.
So I agree with you completely, but there was an interesting reason she was on the show again.
Well, tell us, Christy.
The first time she was on, she was in the process of a divorce. And went on and on about cheating. And how horrible it
Hold
was.
On, I have to kill myself. I
you
saw that. Yes. I'm sorry. Danny, finish out the week.
No, please don't go.
I saw her first appearance
so
when
happened?
She talked about her cheating husband.
Oh, I remember hearing about this. So they had her back.
Yes,
to see
but
what
Christy's
happened.
Argument is retarded because the first time they had her on, she wasn't doing. I still never heard of her. And that's because they needed some color. Look. It's fine. Who the hell wants to look at five pink
they
people
out
there?
They should have a Republican Absolutely. And people of different backgrounds. It makes it more interesting.
Well, why don't we take a five-minute break? Okay.
All right. I got to kill myself because I saw her talking about her cheating husband 7 months ago.
Listen, I'm sure your wife sits through a lot of shows she doesn't want to watch.
Yeah, anything with Adam on it.
No, she wants to watch those.
She claims
yeah, but he
to.
Won't tell her
secretly.
He won't
glad.
Tell her when they're on.
We'll take a quick break. Someone you want to watch. Or listen to Billy West.
All right.
The great Billy West on next.
The Adam Carolla Show welcomes this guy.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
And this guy.
Master of Time, Space, and everything else in the future. And, winner of this year's Modesty Award.
And this guy.
Get me a sandwich from the dumpster.
And this guy.
Hello, sickies.
This guy, too.
Listen to me, you filthy hippies. This is Richard M. Nixon.
And this guy.
Oh, good news, everyone.
This guy right here.
866-901. Adam.
And these two.
Hey, Ren! I'm gonna call now. We don't have a telephone!
And they're all Billy West.
What a pleasure it is to see my lifetime of accomplishment summed up in a 3-minute film.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Billy West in studio.
Hi.
He just got to press the flesh with Bishop Don Magic Juan, who's in the green room. Every room he's in is the green room.
Yeah.
He smokes that much weed.
He has a chalice full of magic energy drink.
I think it's called champagne.
That's what it is. But he was saying, I was talking, I had my bout with that stuff, you know, 20 years straight drinking. And
right.
He says, well, you may have taken it a little too far. I said, well, you know, I mean, I'd love to run around with that suit on and drink and stuff. No one bothers you, apparently, here. This was in Boston. I was a parent.
I got to tell you, the chalice is a real stroke of genius.
Yes, it is.
The rap and pimp community has come up with. He has his decorated chalice, Bishop Don Magic Juan. We're speaking of
a chalice.
He made me one as well. Because that's the thing. I like a little nip during the course of the day, but I don't want to see, you know, dragging around a bottle of red wine or champagne.
Yeah.
You get the chalice. Well, you put what you want in it.
Yeah.
Nobody gives you any crap.
No, I got the Holy Grail, dude. I got a whole thing with a knight holding it up. A knight is holding up the chalice with rubies
and
stuff.
I don't think Don could ever get busted for driving with an open chalice either. I feel like I've seen him driving in Rolls. down the street with the chalice, and cops just give him a thumbs up.
How is this possible? Does he have, like, some weird diplomatic immunity or something?
It's the magic of the chalice.
It's the Holy Grail of Holy Grails.
I'm the greatest pimp that ever lived.
Yes, we know that, sir. Go ahead. You're free to go, sir.
The chalice at the palace has the brew that is true.
That's he told me, there's this. I learned that. I also learned that green is for the money and gold is for the honey.
Yeah.
He wears green and gold.
Right.
And that as we speak, Snoop is hanging at his honeycomb hideout, which is his apartment in Reseda. And you'll know.
Honeycomb hideout.
You know it's Don Magic Juan's apartment when you see a Rolls Royce parked on the street. In front of a crappy apartment. He's the only person I know that drives a car that is worth more than the building he rents.
So this is all legal.
It's all above the board.
I love him because I know exactly what he's saying. It's like, in other words, he somehow rose above the indignity of being a sloppy, filthy drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never go around with a chalice and that outfit with the glasses and the hat and everything. I was like, I degenerated to like, I had a shopping cart with
You started drinking at what age?
Oh, 21.
And it spun out of control when?
By 82.
So you were, what, 10 years into it? Or what?
I was 10 years old. No. It just spiraled so bad out of control that I was practically one of those guys that you go, how did anyone ever get to that point? Because I'd leave work. I had a job.
What'd you do?
And I'd leave work and I'd go over and grab a pint of blackberry brandy. And drink it down in about 45 minutes.
Oh.
I hated the taste of alcohol.
Me too. Right, so you got the fruity, sweet stuff.
I hated it, but I wanted to set the land speed record for self-destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like close to being like, you know, the shopping cart with my clothes and my cat and bottles. You know, like the flagship of the Wino Navy. You know, I'd be like...
Just so you know, I'm sorry.
Squirting urine out of your back.
You still had a home and all that by when you quit drinking or... How'd you become homeless?
I actually... Let's see, where did I live? Dumpster number 6 once. No, I lived in the van of the radio station for a month once.
He was living in the prize patrol van?
Oh, yeah. Stack
of keychains and T-shirts.
And the interns who just, you know, would never say anything actually complained that the thing just smelled like an outhouse.
Oh.
And they had to go give out prizes. And they wanted to be cool and everything, and they'd get out of this, like cheese locker.
This 91 Rocks beer koozie is filled with fecal matter.
is that coming in?
No charge.
We're just redoing my house right now and just little things, closets, stuff like that. And I couldn't think of it, so I just told my wife, you're going to find things. Because when you first start drinking, you can still think where to hide things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But as you get drunk, you hide things on the counter.
Yeah.
And it's been, give you an idea, I fought Greg Brady years and years and years ago, and now I'm about to box. So we broke out all my boxing equipment. Every single glove, shoe, everything had a small bottle of vodka. And so did bookshelves. Everything in my house had empty bottles in it.
Oh,
every single room.
There's even a bottle of vodka that had a smaller bottle of vodka hidden into it, and a ship was inside of that.
I used to live at home at that point, and my mom was disgusted with me. I was like an infantilized adult.
Right.
And in my 20s, mid-20s, and I'd have these blackberry bottle. You know, blackberry brandy bottles hidden in the house. And I would forget where they were. And my mom would come home and she'd know exactly where to look. You know, it didn't matter where you hid anything. She had that radar.
Yeah, right. My wife, too.
She Blue goes star. Right into the hamper in a closet. Open it up and there's the... And she'd look at me and she'd go, blackberry brandy! I go, well, yeah. And I thought she was going to say, that's an aperitif, you idiot. No, that's not for drunks. But she said, your father used to drink that crap.
And it's like,
I didn't even know.
Right.
I didn't even know.
Chicks have radar. When my wife thought I was cheating, she would look for women, and they'd be on the end of my hoozits, and she'd always find them there. Yeah. And go, well, who's that girl?
I know.
Billy, I feel like it started out
as a canker in my mouth, doctor.
I feel like your shares at meetings must be pretty entertaining.
My what?
When you get up and share, you go, I'm Billy West.
Oh, hi.
I'm an alcoholic.
You don't
do
and I'm a voiceover artist. You want me to do is Ren or Stimpy?
I couldn't stop from screwing around even when I first went went into AA. They put me in a nut house in Belmont.
Yeah, I did that.
You know, 5-point restriction or whatever. Oh, what's the fifth part? I can't even imagine. But, you know, I'd be up there, and it was like, I used to call it Macadamia Manor, and somehow I'd be over this in 3 days, and all these other people, you know, they're going to struggle.
I called it Camp Snoopy.
Yeah.
And apparently there is a Camp Snoopy at Knott's Berry Farm, and they got really mad at me.
Oh, God. So I was... you know, just going into this place, and I was going to play along, and then I was going to get out, and everybody would trust me. And
you were actually institutionalized?
Yes.
For how long?
It was, I think, a couple of weeks.
Did you see Rain Man?
Mm-hmm.
About sort of
that.
Like
it was
that.
His roommate.
A couple of weeks. Bailed him out.
Blood alcohol
six
content.
6 months ago.
Blood alcohol content. Blood alcohol content.
His blood had turned into blueberry brandy.
My blood had a head on it.
But this wasn't actually reverse. This wasn't actually rehab.
It was
being institutionalized.
No, there was different sections. There's different flavors of nut, you know, up in those places.
Well, so mixed nuts.
Yeah, mixed nuts. Right. And right. I was in there, and they had meetings. They infused you with sobriety.
Right.
You know, you had to go every day in case you were thinking of white-knuckling it out by
several
yourself.
Several times a day.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen. So I'd be in there, and remember there was a hurricane right around 1985 called Gloria, Hurricane Gloria.
I remember that one.
And that's when I was in, and they were... They were worried all about it, you know, and they putting boards up and stuff. And, and I had a meeting, and I get up, and I go, "Hi, grateful to be here. My name is Gloria, and I'm a hurricane." Hi, Gloria.
Do people yell at you?
Well, I knocked down a few houses today. I'm trying to cut down. You know.
Describe step 3 through 7 as Cancer Danny.
Oh, wait a minute.
You just do 4 is probably good enough.
You can do this.
I want to do it, but I got something that I was thinking about that I would relate to.
What's the sharing? What is the sharing step?
Oh, the sharing
7?
Is...
No, all of it.
You know, I came in one time and practically told you about... you know, it was Thanksgiving morning, and I'm grateful to be here, and God, let go and let God, you know, the elevator to sobriety is out of order, please use the steps, and they're referring, you know, it's an AA joke.
Right.
You
have one mouth and 2 ears.
Yeah, but I got thrown out of Alcoholics Anonymous. I guess I wasn't anonymous enough.
But you must admit, even though I hate slogans, every now and again you'll hear a genius one. I was at an NA meeting, and that's Narcotics Anonymous, and they're, and I include myself, kids, so don't call up and yell at me. If you could eat it, shoot it, snort it, smoke whatever it is, I did it. Drano. So I'm not putting anybody down, but we're the dregs. And so they drag me to this meeting, I don't want to go, and everybody's stupid. And then this girl said, dead serious, and she's a junkie and her life is ruined, and she says, "I used to tell God how big my problems are, and now I tell my problems how big my God is." And I looked at her and I was actually fairly brilliant, young lady. That was 7 years ago.
How about this one? The empty can rattles the loudest.
Yep.
How about this? Billy West, can Cancer Danny say the Serenity Prayer?
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Nice.
Now, if I only could get my voice back. God grant me the ability to quit smoking cigarettes.
That's the one I want.
The wisdom to buy the right kind.
Okay, you know what you sound? Oh, and that you never sounded like that. But that whole Cancer Danny thing, I was watching Stephen Hawking.
Yeah,
right. Did you see him bouncing around inside the?
They put him in a vomit comet.
Right.
Yeah, he just wanted to know what it's like to float around and be not confined to that wheelchair. He's got like MS or something.
Right.
Yeah, but he talks with one of those digitized, you know.
Yeah, he's in that airplane that does the huge arc where you can float around for a couple of seconds, maybe 30 seconds. They film astronaut movies there, and once in a while they'll send Tom Hanks up to do a somersault.
This guy's the genius of the world. You know, he knows what contains the universe, and he can't even really communicate. He's got that thing, you know, the voice simulator.
I wrote the universe in a nutshell. And Playboy's Hugh Hefner wrote Blue Balls in a Nutsack.
But that's a different book.
Right, of course.
So he was invited to go on NASA in a flight, and they're up there in zero gravity, and he was having a ball. I mean, they were tossing him around, and he was so happy. He was bouncing off the sides of the thing. They have those pads like a sound studio.
It's like your room at the Nut House, except for it's in an airplane.
Yeah, and the guy is like, you know... He's like, you know, the NASA guy is like going, what do you think, Stephen? Mr. Hawking, what do you think? Isn't this great or what?
What the frig do you think? I'm having a ball, you idiot.
I'm not strapped down to something. There's no catheter going on.
Was he flying around in his wheelchair or was he out of his wheelchair?
He didn't have the wheelchair, but see, when you're without the wheelchair, you go without certain accoutrements that help you live.
Uh-huh.
Namely, like, you know...
respirator?
You know,
things
number two and number one and even number three. If I just knew what it was,
right? It has a drip pan built
in. Yeah, yeah.
It's the thing your dad puts under the Chevy in the garage so it doesn't ruin the floor.
Do you feel any sensations, Mr. Hawking?
Yes.
what are you feeling up here?
I have to take a dump in zero gravity.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yes, 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 yes.
No, no, don't do it.
Yes. One.
No!
Two.
No, 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 no.
I was just kidding.
If you're having that, you can get away with anything.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because Billy West was working on this last week.
Yes.
Right.
Taking a dump in zero gravity.
Yeah, I know.
On the Vomit Comet.
Hey, we're prepared for anything up here in NASA. We got that bounty, the quicker picker upper, and some buckets so we can capture that the clumps of whatever comes out of there.
James is on line one and a huge Billy West fan.
Why?
Hey, James.
Hey, how's it going?
Only Billy West was a fan of Billy West. So true. James?
Yes. Hey, how's it going?
Do you have a request of Billy West?
Yeah, I want to know if you can do a little Ren and Stimpy. I used to watch Ren and Stimpy when I was a kid.
Hold on. He's not your personal monkey. He's my monkey.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Dance for Adam.
All right. The idea that you do Ren and Stimpy, that's the amazing part.
Hey, Rent. No, I'll do an answering machine for everybody who ever bugged me for this. Just tape this show when it's on the podcast.
Give him a second. Right. Better get your equipment. You ready? Yeah.
Okay. And like I said, go to AdamCarolla.com and get the podcast if you want to.
And here it is. You can just tape it off there.
All right.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. This is Stimson J. Cat of the Ren and Stimpy Show. And guess what? I just answered the phone. What's so big deal about that? Because I usually answer the vacuum cleaner.
James?
Please leave a message.
Nicely
done. Listen for the tone, you idiot! Yes, I shall kill you!
Your producer thinks of everything.
Brian is
on the ball.
I was on the ball, yes.
I was at conventions.
Sorry, Billy West.
I was at these sci-fi conventions.
Right.
That's where I've been for a while.
Oh,
up in
man.
Detroit, Michigan, promoting things like, you know, Kevin Ren and Stimpy pictures and everything. I always act like it's the end of my career.
Be a ton of hot chick.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I was thinking.
It was
of
Michigan.
Fat guys that lived at home. But yes, go ahead.
Yeah, there's like this disproportionate amount of beautiful, beautiful girls and then astigmatic, mouth breathing, acne force fields with hygiene problems.
Billy was telling me there are hot chicks.
But not everybody.
Totally. The problem is they dig the ugly, pimply guys.
Yes, but the nerd girls, once you take off like these weird glasses and stuff, and they let their hair down. Some of them are more ugly. No, they're some of them are absolutely stunning.
Billy, did you meet anybody special?
Well, Lou Ferrigno was there. I always thought he was kind of
not
cool.
What I mean.
What did he sound like?
I bet you know him, and I bet I know him.
You think he's listening right now? Come on.
Oh.
This is an homage.
You don't want to see me when I'm in.
Come on.
Really? It's an homage.
Do a little Hulk. Yeah, do a little Incredible Hulk.
I heard them going to do Hulk, too.
No, they're in.
All right, so Lou Ferrigno's there.
Yeah, Lou Ferrigno and Lou Gossett Jr.
Sure.
Ah. And he, you know him, he was like this great actor, and I asked him, I said, hi, Mr. Gossett. He came over. And he says, how's everybody doing over here? And I
he
said,
sounds like Satchmo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I said, how's it going? And he was like,
it's all about cash.
And he did a little dance. Cash, 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 cash. And he starts woo-woo like a train.
Right, right.
But the weirdest part of it all was Detroit. I mean, now Michigan might be a blue state now.
Right.
But it's still a little, you know, rednecky,
got a little
I
red
guess.
In there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know what was up there? The guy who owns the General Lee, you know, that stupid car from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Big Reb.
Kid.
Yeah. They're big Kid. Well, the problem is there's 150 General Lees.
Oh, is there? Well, this sounded like it, so I was fooled.
There's a rock guitarist who has a General Lee, and then there's like Kid Rock, and there's
Oh.
Anyway.
So it's like the group The Platters or The Ink Spots. There's like 12 sets of them.
Right.
Well, or The Robot from Lost in Space.
You sound like Cancer Danny, and I really just have a bad liver.
Right.
So, you know, it's just not always what it seems.
You lean to the right. But your liver weighs 15 pounds.
General Lee
Carr has the horn that goes...
Right.
And I was looking at Lou Gossett and seeing this Johnny Reb car coming around the corner. And he comes over, and I'm thinking, hey, man, you might want to change or rethink that theme song.
Well, plus, it's got the Confederate flag on the roof.
Oh, I know. That means black people out.
Yeah, it's the racist mobile.
Yeah, and there's a lot of African Americans that live in Detroit, and here comes Johnny Rep.
But only one black guy at the nerd convention, and that's Lou Gossett Jr.
No, there was some. Be honest. There was some looks, but I guess I take it all too seriously. Like I'm like offended on behalf of the
right.
It's always a white guy that's always offended for the black people.
Right. I feel like half the black people are actually offended, and then the other half are offended because white people talk them into being offended, like Billy West.
Yeah, but I hear in that song, I wish I was in the land of cotton. I go, look, there's a lot of people here that don't wish they were in the land of cotton. Old times there, they are forgotten because people have crappy memories, and I keep hearing that song.
Well, speaking of black people, Bishop Don Magic Juan is coming in next.
Champagne.
Billy, actually, why don't you hang out?
Yeah.
Because Bishop Don Magic Juan and you could probably have... I think you sound... say Champagne again.
Champagne.
I think you sound like
he's mellow, man.
I know. I think we'll bring him
mellow
in.
Mellow Man is an entirely different guy.
Oh, he is? Okay.
We'll bring him the Bishop, and Billy West will hang with us. We got some calls for him and them as well.
I love him.
Quick break. Be right back after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Call 866-901-ADAM.
That's pimpish.
And now the Ace Man welcomes Bishop Don Magic Juan on the Adam Carolla Show.
Bishop Don Magic Juan, Billy West, sitting in. Good to see you.
Always a pleasure, Adam. You know it's a treat when players meet.
I do remember that one. We met... I think we met Bishop Don Magic Juan some years ago when Jimmy and I decided what would it be like to be a pimp, to go out, turn some women's out, and Don make some monies.
Right.
So Don, we said, well, we got to go to the best in the business, and he's got to live nearby. And that was Don Magic Juan, and we went over to his place. We went over to the Honeycomb Hideout. We walked into his apartment. There was Snoop and eight super scary black guys smoking weed in his living room. Don let us in and then quickly left, said he had to go in his room and change. And there were Jimmy and I looking like we were wearing wind-up beanies and short pants going, hi, fellas. How you fellas doing?
Yeah.
How did
mates?
They do at pimping, Don?
Oh, man. You know, they got out. You know, I gave them the schooling from A to Z. And, you know, we went right out to the heart of the city, Sunset, and picked up a couple of girls and Adams and Jimmy. Huh?
I married one of them.
Oh, that had to be about 3 years ago, something like that.
Easily.
Huh?
Who is more naturally adept at pimping, Adam or Jimmy?
I just have to say they 50-50. It was really even.
Yeah. Right.
They both got the same understanding about the game. And, you know, I was giving it to them straight up, so they both was listening at the same time.
But haven't you found that Sunset, are you talking near the Strip?
Oh, right on the Strip.
Mm-hmm. That is much more difficult to find a hooker than it used to be.
Well, back in the
70s, no turn lanes, so you can't turn around to get them.
Yeah, they said no lottery and all of that. Right. But back in the 70s, they were just flooded on Sunset.
I know.
It was flooded.
Well, I would love to go.
I gave you a lot of money in the 70s, bro.
For sure.
I would love to go way back and figure out how this whole pimp thing got started, at least as far as Don Magic Juan goes. Denise, by the way, is his neighbor at the Honeycomb Hideout, his apartment in Los Angeles. Denise?
Yes, ma'am. I'm right here.
Am I lying when I'm saying there's no other apartment in the city that has a Rolls Royce parked in front of it?
Well, he's got two cars, actually, that kind of stick out all over the place.
Yes, he's got the Caddy and he's got the Rolls Royce.
He's got the Rolls and he's got the Caddy.
Green with the gold anodized rims.
Absolutely.
Very understated.
He's got a lot of things that stick out all over the place.
Don, I have to say hi to you, honey. I haven't seen you in a while, but how are you?
Well, top of the morning to you. You know, been out and about, you know what I mean? Stepping up my gang, you know what I mean? Moving around.
Baby, I live right next door to you, and you just gave me the thumbs up. few days ago when I saw you.
Is that yellow truck?
No, this is the Mercedes that goes
by your... Oh. So now you just coincidentally live there.
This is the blonde in the Mercedes, honey.
Oh, we got neighbors in there.
Do you just coincidentally live there, or are you a hooker?
Absolutely not.
Oh, Don, you gotta turn around.
Oh, yeah. No, we're doing movies now. We got great citizens in there. Love you, dear.
Mm-hmm. Is Snoop in your honeycomb hideout as we speak?
Well, not. He's in the studio. He was in the honeycomb hideout last night. He went to the studio to make some music with Molly Brothers or something, you know.
Is it true? Then tell me if I'm exaggerating. You guys sit in your apartment, smoke weed, and eat Popeyes.
Hey, you know what I mean? What else is it to do? You know, superstar like Snoop for some pastime. And, you know, you got to understand that we on medical weed. You know, it's legal.
I understand. Glaucoma.
Yeah, right. We smoking medica now.
Right.
Yeah, you have Epstein-Barr from smoking so much weed.
That's chronic, but not chronic
Roseanne
fatigue.
Barr. I have to get high to talk to her.
I want to talk to Billy West hanging in with us, Bishop Don Magic Wand.
Yeah.
Bishop Don Magic Wand has some beautiful tennis shoes.
Yes.
And these things are more practical than than anything else. They're gold lame. They have a beautiful green leather. They're high top. We'll get to that in a second. Tell you guys where to get them. And
you know,
people talk about the new car smell. What about the new shoe smell?
I
love the smell of a new shoe.
You know what? I'd pay a little more if you'd have a hooker walk around in them first.
You got to do it.
If you said, hey, these are 100, but I'll have a hooker stroll sunset and then sell them for 150, I'd buy those.
Right away. Had to take them right to the store and bless one of the hookers. You know what I mean?
They have to stand on their feet.
Yeah. You know, in terms of practicality, hookers wearing 9-inch Lucite heels while walking around in 40-degree weather up and down the concrete. And high as a kite, by the way. Probably not the greatest idea. They should be wearing flats.
By the way, if you see a hooker in pants, that's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
You want something you can hike up and be done.
On the other hand...
Pants, that's crazy. You're going to be there all night dealing with this chick till the cops are coming.
Well, how much hooking is going on these days? How much street walking is still going on? I know you're out of the business, Bishop.
They have elevated their game. You know, they didn't come up to the corporate level. You know, they work in the internet now. You know, not much street walking going on. They tapping into the internet now. Meet me at the hotel. Meet me at the restaurant. You know what I mean?
Interesting. So it's sort of what happened with the porn theater. Not around. DVDs and VA, you know, tapes have put them out of business.
Well, you know, a lot of people can sit at home and order in now. You know what I mean? You don't have to go out and circle the block and get busted and pick up the police.
Back in the day, where did you get started? You got started. Are you from Billy? Are you from Detroit? You from
I'm
Billy?
From Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. And you get started in what year?
I got started in 1972.
And how old were you?
I was about 18 years old.
And how did it start for you?
Well, you know, it mostly started about money. You know, coming up in a family, you know what I mean? 7, 8 brothers and sisters, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mother on welfare, ain't no money nowhere. And as a matter of fact, my father had gangstered me from my mother, and I stayed with him for the first 7 years of my life.
He gangstered you?
Yeah, just took me from her. You know, I explained it to you, you know, because I asked my mother, how could he do that with the law? He said, well, the black man had money back in the 50s. He was able to have it his way.
Right.
So
mom couldn't hire an attorney.
Well, you know, she was on welfare. He had buildings and everything. So I stayed the first 7 years of my life watching the nightlife. So when he passed away, I went to stay with my mother. Ain't no money, no way, brothers and sisters and everything. So I had to make it on my own. I didn't want to be a murderer or a car thief. I just happened to be a ladies' man.
Well, two things. First off, you're describing Bald Brian's life to a T. That's exactly how he came up. Number one, living on the mean streets of Chicago.
Ooh.
Daddy was a Rolling Stone.
Yes.
Now you said
in front of Cabrini Green.
Yeah, you know about that.
Damn right. Where you got right. Where you think I got my rocks, man?
Your dad had money.
Yeah.
He owned buildings?
I'm guessing he was a dentist.
No, my father owned 3 buildings and a restaurant. And that's why I'm so hooked on hamburgers. I came up on hamburgers.
Right.
I always try to find the best hamburger.
So your dad had some real estate. He had some money. He went and gangstered you. He got you. He liked you. He raised you, but then eventually dumped you back off with your mom.
When you were seven.
Well, no. What I used to do is I used to go spend weekends with my mother while he was alive. But after he passed away, boom, I had to go stay with
him. What happened to your father?
Well, he had like a blood clot. He was the older guy, had blood clot and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He died suddenly?
Well, no, he was in the hospital for a while, you know. And then at that time, back in the day, you know, at youngsters couldn't go in the hospital then. So I had to stand on the fence and watch him, you know, see him in the hospital.
So he died young.
Well, if you're young. He was 50-something, you mm-hmm. know. He was happy, you know, to have a young baby at a old, you know, old age and everything.
So, 57 ain't that young. If you're anywhere near Cabrini Green, you're an old man. Because life expectancy is like 42, I think, there.
Well, see, it used to be a different thing back in the day when you was 50, man. You were just like old today, you know, 50, man. Like myself, man, we up and kicking.
Dude, I'm 47. It's just making it happen.
It's the new 14.
Can I just say thank you very much for saying that? You know, whenever I just begin to think I'm going to just die quietly in the middle of the night. I need to hear that again.
That's right.
Billy West, Bishop Don Magic Wand in studio. I'll tell you what we'll do. I think we'll try to get a little closer to back on time and take a break. You guys hang out. We have a crank anchors call from one Snoop Doggy Dog. He did a little crank anchors for us a few seasons ago. We'll hear that.
Cool.
We'll get back with Bishop Don Magic Wand, tell you about his new tennis shoe, take some phone calls. Billy West, stay put. We'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's a crank call from the Crank Anchors Vault with Snoop Dogg.
Because.
Yo, what up? This is Big Snoop Dogg. Can I speak to the manager of the store?
This is the manager. How can I help you?
Hey, what's crack-a-lackin'?
Hi, how are you? This is D.
D, you know who I am?
Yeah, I know who you are.
I need to come through there and get some clothes.
Okay.
But I want to put you up on a few things, you know, because the clothes are symbolizing a lot of negative things right now. The red clothes and the blue clothes.
Okay.
You know what's up with that? The Bloods and the Crips and all that?
Yeah, I know all about that.
All right, well, we would like for y'all to stop selling the red clothes because the Crips are getting upset, and then we want you to stop selling the blue clothes because the Bloods are getting upset. So we really want y'all to sell, like, some safe colors like white, you know, and clear.
Okay. Because all we really have that's really all red is, like, a sweatshirt.
It's real negative. We don't need that.
Yeah.
You know what I do, they do. So I'm just trying to do the right thing. Can you feel me?
Yeah, I feel you.
Okay, well, I need to come up there and, you know, basically bring about 15, 16 people with me after y'all close and, you know, pick out a few things to take with me.
Yeah, I could do that for you.
You sound like you look good, too, baby.
I do. No, I'm playing.
So what's happening?
Nothing. I don't got any plans.
Oh, you ain't got no plans? Well, tell me what you look like. Run it down to me. Give me the dimensions.
I don't know what I look like.
No, I'm saying the dimensions. 26, 34, 26. Give me some of them dimensions.
Hold on. Tell me what I look like. Hello?
What's cracking? Who is this?
Christina.
Does she got a big ass?
Yes, she got a big booty.
She does?
Puerto Rican and Brazilian. Hold
on. Ooh, wait.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, this is
D. So I can come get both of y'all?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's four of us.
The more, the merrier.
Okay, so how do I know that, like, you're not just somebody that sounds like Snoop Dogg and now I'm getting excited for nothing?
Nah, don't nobody sound like this, baby girl. I'm the one and only.
Okay. You know all about Snoop Dogg. What can I ask him so I know it's him?
How about I just put it through the mail slot? Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you know what's happening. It's crack-a-lackin' for shizzle dizzle.
Okay, it's Snoop Dogg. Okay,
it's me. I mean,
okay,
goddamn, what y'all gonna do? Y'all think this is Jeopardy or something? Y'all coming up with all kind of off-the-wall
nice
questions.
Cool. I just want to make sure, because, you know, I don't want no perpetrators.
Well, I want to make sure. I want to make sure you look good and y'all look good. Y'all could be some booger bears up there, 300-pound big fat bitches. I'm trying to make sure y'all look good, too.
Okay, well, just come up here then, and I guess we'll see.
Now, check it out. I need to ask you one question before I jump off the line with you, sweetie.
Okay.
You like tapes or CDs?
Do I like tapes or CDs?
CDs.
CDs?
Yeah.
Well, CDs in your mother...
Okay. So what was that for?
That's me being real, baby girl. I'm up out here. This is Big Snoopy D.O. Double Jizzle for Shizzle Dizzle. It's been real, baby girl. Holla.
I wrote that whole ending on a Marks a Lot board. I wrote for Shizzle.
That was all you.
How do I know you're you?
That's hard.
You got, what kind of question did I ask him?
Billy West in studio. Bishop Don Magic
Give me the
Wand.
Dimensions. Give me the dimensions.
Church.
the greatest pimp of all time and a dear, dear personal friend of Mr. Snoop Doggy Dogg. Bishop has, now we're talking about his life. I'll talk about his tennis shoe, which is no joke.
I hold it right
in front of me. It is beautiful. Again, understated, which is British Racing green with gold lamé in alligator skin on top. But his colors, you understand, Bishop Don Magic Juan is like a country, and his flag is green and gold.
Because?
You understand? Because green is for the money, and gold
for the honey.
For the honey.
Shit.
That's right. Don't know what it means, but it's right. Church.
I get that a lot. I have no idea what it means, but I'm sure it's right.
I asked the bishop if he was the world's second oldest profession, and he said it's the other way around.
Oh, interesting. The pimp came before.
That's what he
the
said.
Hoe? The hoe.
Well, she'd have had to teach her, so she didn't know what she was. She didn't know. She was just giving it away.
I understand. And so the oldest profession is pimp.
And he said the third
would
oldest is customer.
Oh, interesting.
Stupid.
And then the fourth is cop.
You know, you hear about the oldest profession, but I want to hear about the top 25 oldest professions.
Would it be foolish to disagree on this point? With
I think arena football player may be like 6 or 7. Yes.
That a chick realized she could get a bigger piece of Tyrannosaurus if she put out. Then a big guy came along and dragged her ass away from the other guy. And therefore became her pimp and turned her out for the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
That's why
I got to go with pimp as second oldest still. That's what I'm thinking.
It ain't the physical thing. It's the mental thing. See, you know, if you thought it was the physical thing, then you couldn't really be a good pimp because you got to understand you're sending her out there
to be with customer.
With everybody. So you got to have a strong mental thing to make sure she comes back to you. Uh-huh. You know, it ain't the lit head.
Yes, of course.
The little head?
The little head and the big head.
Yeah. And I imagine
that man
who did that back in the old cave days may have been a great, 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 great grandfather of yours.
I could believe that.
He probably had a rock chalice.
I can make you a lot of money. Yeah.
He had a Flintstones chalice.
I'm very curious how...
Grandma, get out on the street.
Don Juan, you were saying that you started pimping when you were 18. I'm curious, how do you convince the first girl to sleep with people and then give you the money?
One thing about it is you have to instill this dream and desire into her to let her know it's some big and better thing, that you know the way, and that she was really sitting on her fortune, that if she knew what she had, she could be a millionaire. By convincing her that and showing her way that she can turn over a financial gain just by doing what she liked to do anyway, instead of giving it away, sell some, baby.
Well, you're right.
Persuasive.
This for me.
Very persuasive.
The original pitch was, look, we've been brother and sister for a long time. Your mama's hurting.
You're ruining the vibe for me. Because what I get in my lily white head, of course, is, listen, bitch, I'll smack you right upside your head unless you go out and earn
me some
money.
No, that doesn't work on women.
That's not a strong pimp hand.
They call that the gorilla pimp.
I'm learning.
You know, Adam, know the line is, I'm the best thing that could ever happen to you.
Bishop, do you, is there any success stories with the women, like, you know, after they retire and stuff, do they actually make out all right in life?
Well, you know what I mean? A few girls that had, you know what I mean? They had, you know, when God saved me in 1985, I went off to pastor church for 3 years, and the girls couldn't understand it, that how God had took me. They wanted to curse God. Why? Because they had been with me like 10 and 15 years. They didn't know nothing else to do, because when God came into my life, I dropped it like a hot potato, went right off into the ministry. They tried to do it. You know, they joined the choir. They started joining and, you know, the church coming.
So they get all stupid again, like when they began.
Well, you know, like I said, it was a process, you know what I mean? And they couldn't understand it. They just wish God could hit them in the head and change them, but it just ain't like that. And they couldn't understand, how could I drop all that action and go straight to the church? But it happened.
Also, one you may have heard of that turned out to have a fairly successful career, a young gal that Bishop Don Magic Juan turned out in the mid-70s by the name of Dionne Warwick. Perhaps you've heard of her.
Yes, I know.
Well,
kidding.
I'd say she the landed
psychic?
On her feet.
Hold on. Dionne Warwick?
I just made that up.
Miss Adams. Teresa's going to go.
You had me. Yeah, I was very
upset. Yeah, this is news.
Do you know the way to say, ho, Zach? No. Dionne Warwick wasn't a prostitute.
So you've got a friend and a pimp?
I thought Tina Turner was coming.
Ah, that may
What percentage did you used to take?
100% of it.
100%?
Yeah, and I supplied all of their need, their food and their clothing, their shelter, their medical bills. Mm-hmm. They supply the money, and I take care of all of the bills.
You are the Colonel Parker.
How many hookers
That's
did you have?
That's better than the way the government treats soldiers now.
At your heyday.
I had a stable, stayed in one house, 7 girls. That's considered a stable.
And do you remember the name of the first lady, and you remember where you met her?
The first lady was Annie, and I met her in Chicago at a disco.
Mm-hmm. And your rap was, do you remember exactly what you said when you went up to her?
Yeah. I said, I would like to have one of those diamond rings you're wearing. She said, you stupid little guy, what are you thinking here?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just consistent. Every week at the disco, I would still get in her face and say I was a good dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I wore it down with that line. And she finally gave me one of the diamond rings, and it was a female ring. And after that, started melting them down and making them into men's diamond rings.
Right. The bigger ones.
The bigger ones.
At what point do you convince her to have sex and give you the money?
Well, one thing about it is, it's, you know what I mean, you got to pay for it before you romance. You know, it's financed before you romance.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Once you convince her that she'll pay for it, then you know you really got her. Because, see, a lot of ladies will give love, but once they get your money, you got them then.
See, first she gave you the ring, and
That's
then
right.
I got it.
That was like a down payment. You know what I mean?
I feel like
that she was serious.
I played, it's not the exact same story, but I played a little Pop Warner football.
Right.
And each year they would give us these candy bars with walnuts in them, and we had to go door to door and try to get a dollar for a 70-pound block of chocolate with walnut in it, and I couldn't sell them. I'd go door to door with candy and say this is for the East Valley Trojans, and the guy would slam the door in my face. So I would eat all the chocolate, and then I would tell my dad we owed the East Valley Trojans $12. All I'm saying is this was a delectable product we could all agree upon.
Right.
I couldn't sell one of them. The idea that you could walk up to a stranger, convince her to have sex with another stranger, and then give you the money that stranger paid her, seems like a very tall order. I don't think I could have. I couldn't sell chocolate.
I think I could do it.
That's because your product was chocolate. It wasn't.
He was selling chocolate and not flesh.
I could sell it to the dude, but I'm saying to the chick that I'm trying to turn out, that seems like the
That's
tall order.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you know, you got to convince them it was the right thing to do. So it's all about convincing.
I can't get scrambled eggs for my wife without her shooting me the finger from across the room. I couldn't imagine if I told her to go have sex with strange guys and bring back the money.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Yeah?
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
I'd like you to come over to my house.
I truly, honest to God, think I could do it.
Just to put things into perspective. You think you could do it?
I actually agree. I think Danny could convince somebody to do it.
All right, now hold on a second. What if Teresa Strasser was just walking down the street?
Not a chance in the world.
All right, but let's pretend she's a young runaway.
I would stop and blow.
With issues.
Thank you.
How would you turn her out?
She gets off the bus.
Right.
And she wants to be a movie star?
It's like a Guns N' Roses video.
Okay. Right. First thing you got to explain is the town she has just come to, and that everything costs money. The headshots, what she wants.
Well, tell it to her, Danny.
Your wildest dreams that you have left home for you.
I mean, during the commercial. No, tell it to her.
Everything that you have just done, the brave move you have made at your tender age of 17 to get on that bus and leave Kansas City and come here to L.A. to be a movie star, is to be commended, but there are realities to it, and
they cost money. Make her 18, and I'll get weird.
Yeah.
No, so she's going to have a birthday before I turn her.
Oh, okay, good, smart.
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 She's got to be grown.
I'm 17.
Just to make this real quick, what I will do is I will convince her she's the goods. She mm-hmm. was right. She did the right thing leaving Kansas City, when in my heart, I always knew the wrong.
Right.
But she didn't do the planning yet.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't plan out the cost of living out her dreams, and the cost is me.
Right. Apartment in Kansas City's $400 a month. Out here, it's $2,000.
You get a runaway with daddy issues and no money? Maybe it's not that hard.
No, I don't think it would be that hard.
The hardest part is
chicks do real weird stuff for me.
Tell her to have sex with Billy West right now.
Yeah. Sex with Billy West
the
right
hardest
now.
Part of the whole job is trying to explain Hollywood to anybody.
Right.
It's not all sunglasses and BJs.
I like Danny's tact.
It's not all breasts and ice cream like everybody thinks.
You convince them that they are the genius and brave to have done it. What a huge move at your young age that you really did it. but here's the realities, and you can't go back. You can never go back. You have to win now, hey, and I'm the only way to victory.
Bishop, Magic Wand, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'd like to extend an invitation to you. You know, Danny's having a bachelor party May 31st at the Key Club.
At the Key Club on Sunset. Man.
Sunset, your old stomping grounds.
No question about it. I was just over that way last night at the Rainbow. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
it would be awesome to have you attend.
I'm going to make it my business to be there, the 31st.
That would be a pleasure,
sir. Think of it as a red-pubed player's ball.
Oh, no question about it, man. It's going to be exciting. I wanted to see how it come off.
Because, by the way, just so you know, it's the Danny is becoming a bachelor. My wife just filed for divorce. Our lawyer's meeting today. So this is
in
the
great
bust them out.
You've heard this.
This is the bust them out story.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
My phone didn't ring.
Well, that's the way I used the way I used to do when, you know, one of the prostitutes leave me, I would celebrate.
You would?
Because that was her loss, not mine.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. See, my wife's a good and decent Christian.
What is a good
I'm going to get laid constantly.
Back in your day, what did a good prostitute in your stable earn in a year?
Oh, wait. You know, I had a female out here doing the Olympics, and we did $30,000 in a week and a bag of jewelry.
84. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think I actually
right here in Los Angeles during the Olympics.
$30,000 in a week. I think I lit a cigarette off her labia.
And that was off one female. That's one female.
I like the idea. If you ever watch that show, Hookers on the Point.
Oh, I love that show. The voiceover.
And you thought the day of the $18 sex act in the utility van was over.
Alive
and well. But the thing that's great is, you know, guy drops me off at the airport. I give him $20.
Right.
You watch that show. They have him mic'd up. The guy, the John, gets into the car, and it's like, hey, baby, how much for, you know, some moral? And she's like, $25? He's like, oh, he's outraged.
Yeah.
You got to do me better than that.
That's
like,
right.
Really?
Ooh.
I saw one guy get an oral sex, get a favor for two cigarettes on that show.
That
beats me.
I go to the Starbucks, $18. I put $5 into the jar.
Right. $18, what are you talking about? I'll throw in a roll of Tums.
Dennis is just trying to get some viewership or something.
The two cigarettes thing.
He got
the, real experience I have.
She was broke down.
The real experience I have with a prostitute. I've been to prostitutes. I mean, no bones about that. But I lived with a prostitute for about 3 months, and after she had her first hit of crack, she'd do things for $5.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, when they go to the drug thing, though, it's over.
Well, that's why you keep your bitches clean, right?
No question about it. I was strictly against it. And, you know, even myself, I never used cocaine, never used hair. I'm strictly against it.
What's in the chalice, though?
Oh, I got Famous Players Energy drink in here, Moet Champagne.
Hey, Bishop, do you ever fall in love with one of your hookers?
Oh. I fell in love with all of them. Anytime you got a woman giving you some money, you got to love her.
Well,
taking our chances out there. Risking her life, you got to love her.
Let me throw a little love toward Bishop Don Magic Wand because we're running late for a commercial break. A couple things. Yes, you can see him at the Key Club at the 31st, hanging out with Bonaducci. Also, his shoe, which again is amazing. Look, let's put it this way. If you're a male nurse and you're looking to fly under the radar at the hospital, this is not the shoe for you. But if you want to kick up a little dust, if you're Bill, you're going out for throwing a manhole for a smart cocktail, this is your shoe.
That's the shoe full of confidence, Adam, and they can go to, what is it, AmericaSkate.com and find out where to get that shoe.
With an E, America.
AmericaSkate.com.
The Bishop.
You will not be disappointed. No, you'll be the only kid on your block with one of these
things.
They're
like superhero
shoes. Horrify your white parents, by the way, by getting this shoe.
Hey, Adam, listen, the first 15 minutes, we sold 1,000 pair.
Right.
It was officially released in April. I mean, they love it. The skateboarders love it. And I'm going to be out there June the 9th at Activa Westwood, you know, from 1 to 3, signing autographs. So everybody want to come and see the green and gold, man, I'll be there at Activa Westwood.
Right. Now, he may be hard to spot. He'll be wearing the gold lamé with the 7-foot fedora and a 12-foot ostrich feather sticking out of it.
You know that's me.
7-11
layers. All right. Bishop Don Magic Wand. We're going to take a break. Billy West, God bless you. Billy West.
Thank you, my friends.
Oh, Billy West is everywhere.
I've been liberated from wearing white clothes. As soon as I get out of here, boom, I'm on the website.
Go to BillyWest.com for more information. We will pick up our discussion we left off on yesterday. Teresa's dating life. We'll do that and give you an update next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to get into the fabulous dating life of our very own Teresa Strasser. Hang tight. It's going to be a wild ride. With Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, when we left off this time yesterday, it had been 3 months since you and your beau decided to take 3 months off. When I say you and your beau, I mean you.
Yeah.
You said, I need some clarity. Yeah. Now, her beau is a big, strapping, good-looking, smart ex-jock who, as a guy, I would be attracted to if I was a girl, but I'm not, and I don't think like women think. Women would go right past the tall, strapping guy and go with the short, fat guy if he was funnier, smarter, or whatever, more dynamic than this guy. Not chicks who chew gum and pop it while they're doing it, but Teresa Strasser. It's not about the looks for you.
No, but he does happen to be a good-looking guy, this guy.
So you gave him 3 months, and you said moratorium, no conversation, no contact.
You know when people break up, and then they end up hanging out together all the time, and you think, what are you doing? Either break up or be together.
Right.
It was that, and I couldn't figure out, and honestly, I would pray for some kind of sign. I didn't know what to do, and my therapist suggested that I take 3 months totally off of talking, any contact, and I did, and that 3 months was over yesterday.
And no contact in that 3 months.
Nothing.
No texting, no phone calls.
We have no mutual friends because he moved out here. We dated for 2.5 years, and he moved out from New York to be with me. So we don't know any people in common. He doesn't really have that many friends here. So I haven't heard about him. And yesterday we tried to call him on the air, and I thought maybe he's out of town since he didn't pick up our call.
Well, look, if somebody would have told me, let's take 3 months off and let's not have any contact whatsoever, and then we'll see how we both feel in 3 months, whether it was a relationship or a job, I would start looking for a new job and figure I was out of a gig. If my boss came in here and said, I'll see you, well, let's call it January or let's call it February or something like that. I mean, if they said, take a bunch of months off and I'll see you then, I would just start looking for a new gig.
I would assume that you broke up with me.
I would assume you broke up with me, too.
It's way worse than it's not you, it's me. It sounds to me like you said, I'm breaking up with you, bye.
Right. But please, somebody... I can't do this. I'm in a relationship, but if you guys are getting out of a relationship, please use my line.
Which is?
It's not you. It's me. I don't like you.
That's nice. It's not you. It's
always,
me.
I always wanted to use that one.
Well, I got a text, which I'll get to in a minute.
So do you think he put an X on his calendar 3 months down the road and said, we'll be talking, or do you think he lost track of the days?
I'm starting to be very concerned that he's met somebody else in the interim because, like you said, he assumed I meant, let's take 3 months, but I never want to see you again. I think he might have met somebody else. I don't know. I can't tell for sure.
Okay, so now you call him yesterday to alert him that you're willing to take him back. He can get off his pins and his needles and come running to Her Highness.
Yes. I'm laughing, but in my mind, because I hadn't considered the fact that he may have moved on. So in my mind, we were already, you know, maybe in a year and a half from now, I was already pregnant. We were living in the valley. Then pretty soon, he was taking the kids to Little League. Mm-hmm. He was raising the babies while I worked and took Valium.
I counted your Pulitzer.
Yeah, exactly.
Rises. And so you contacted him or attempted to contact him yesterday.
Yeah,
and
right
what
after
happened?
The show and right to voicemail. And I just said, hi, I know we haven't talked in a while. I would love to talk if that would be okay. Please give me a call. Did not hear back. That was right after the show, after our meeting after the show. So it was around 11. Didn't hear from him. And then so I thought, well, maybe there's something wrong with his phone. I'll try the. Yeah. Maybe it will receive a text.
Yeah, you're on it. That's what's wrong with his phone.
So I sent him a text message just saying, please give me a call. That was around noon. And then at 6:30, I received a very mysterious text, and I cannot figure it out.
I bet it ain't.
And I need you guys to manslate.
Did it start with a C?
See?
No.
I'm going to wait on Adam.
I got to say, if I were him, I would be hurt. I would feel like you took 3 months to go see if you could do better than me, and you couldn't. And now, oh, lucky me,
You couldn't trade up.
Exactly. Through the grace of your heart, you're willing to take me
back.
That's
accurate.
And I wonder how long before we take another 3 month break that you decided.
That's accurate, but can I reframe it? Because this is a really big decision. I mean, this is it. This would be the father of my kids, and this would be the person I would be connected to for life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge decision, and Adam, I was terrified. I mean, I'm not good at being close to people. I got scared.
All right.
I freaked out.
Okay.
Freak out.
You know, that's fair, though.
All right,
I freaked out, and I had to think about it.
Freak out!
Yes.
He sent you. Okay, but I'm sure his feelings were hurt, and I'm sure he was trying to salvage some pride. So he sent you what?
Here it is.
This is the text.
Timestamp, 6:29 p.m.
Mm-hmm. So full 8 hours after you made your...
He took his sweet time.
Right. Okay.
Oh, man.
Come on, baby. It'll feel good.
I really, honestly, I need your honest feedback what this means.
Oh,
I need you to read between the lines and tell me what is happening.
I will hope to die of cancer sooner if I lie to you about what I think this means.
Okay. All right. I got to get through this. All right. Hey, you. Exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you. Exclamation point. Very casual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing great.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you are too. I do need a little more time before we talk, though. Hope you understand. We'll talk soon, okay? Have a good night.
Mm.
What is this?
I'll tell you what it is.
Is he trying to remasculate himself?
Yes, he's trying to wrestle back his dignity. He's saying, I'm not at your beck and call. I'm a tall, good-looking ex-jock who makes a good living. And you told me the 3 months is up. I'm telling you it's not. Now he knows it's sort of like if you hold your breath, you're not worried because you can breathe whenever you want. But if I say I'm going to hold your breath for you.
That's what I did to him.
You panic.
And
that's what you did. You held his breath.
Got it.
You see, you will. There's interesting studies, which is if I said if I said how many push-ups can you do, you might rattle off 50 push-ups.
Yeah.
If I said start doing them and I'll tell you when to stop, you'd stop at 10 and go, I can't do anymore now. Come on, I'm going nuts.
Right.
That's what you did to him.
It was under my control and not
He's
his.
He's going to let you go nuts for another 48 hours before he casually calls you back.
I wrote back and I said, I understand. Thanks for responding about how much time do you need. And you know what? Came back. Play the crickets.
Oh, nothing. Well, now it feels good. He's sitting in the captain's chair for months.
He was the loser for 3 months.
Does he have a girlfriend?
I don't think so. I was just thinking how funny it would be if you guys did get together and have kids. And it'd be like, and what happened, Mommy? Well, I am your father. Then he texted back to me.
Well, you know how we met.
And I shot him over. We met on MySpace.
He saw me on the news when I was on Good Day New York. That's how we met.
I just mean these stories about IMing and...
An instant message. Daddy texted me.
That's
your daddy
right.
and I took
very
time off.
Your dad was very romantic. He could write a text on a BlackBerry like no other.
I'm sure this was from his BlackBerry.
That's right. And then we both got in our protective pods and had sex. Through a prosthetic device
that was
operated with a joystick.
Just before we took this 3 month hiatus, he told me, and this is like porn for women. He said, Teresa, because he was really trying to get me back, and he said, Teresa, I will gladly stay home with the kids. I will take them to Little League practice and take care of them while you work.
I said the same thing, but my kids are my cars. So I think my wife found that out the hard way.
But this guy is the most nurturing, sweet, caretaking. He would be such a good dad.
Well, look at him. He's a genius, too, because now you're in love with him. The guy you were lukewarm on. The guy you had to consult with your professional lackey who wears the suede patches on his overcoat. You guys got together, put your evil feminine heads, created one evil super brain, and decided this guy should be put on a shelf, much like Bonaducci did to Def Rat Guy.
Put him on a shelf
for 3 months. Now he's salvaging his dignity. Danny?
All right. I was going to do a whole thing for you, like just when you said, have you been exclamation point?
Meant something
to me.
Yeah.
Because you said, that's awful casual. There's nothing casual about the word exclamation point. It means an exclamation. But after reading the whole thing, why bother with any of it? Here's the whole thing. Bye. That's all it means.
Does he have a girlfriend?
Not you. Bye.
You think she's getting the shoe.
Yeah, she's done.
Holy crap.
Well, look.
I was not expecting this. Not good.
No, I'm just going to be honest with you completely, and don't anybody think I owe her an apology on this, because I'm going to act something out.
No, I've asked you for the truth.
Right, goodbye. But I'm going to act something out, the difference between he and I, and they mean the exact same thing.
Okay. Goodbye!
He means...
Stop it, you evil bald man!
This
is my life! I'm not getting any younger.
Right. He means, sorry, bye, you can't treat me like that. I mean... Who the hell do you think you are? You write me a message? You need time off from me? From me? You went 3 months off? You're lucky you had the time you had with me.
When you want to get with somebody who you knew was ready?
Honey, I'd be with 50 people by now.
Let me play devil's advocate to Danny's logic for a second. Let's say he was in a committed relationship. Let's say him and T broke up, and when he was driving home, he met the woman of his dreams.
I hit her.
And he hit her, and he nursed her back to health for the next 3 months in his crappy apartment. Now he's committed and in love with the woman he thinks he's going to marry. I think if that were true, he wouldn't be having fun with you. He wouldn't be ambiguous. Yes. He would write back to you, Teresa, your dear person. No, he would be nice.
Yeah.
Because he would feel bad that he's in love. He would say, Teresa, you're smart, and one guy will be very lucky to have you one day.
Yeah.
However, I have moved
on.
I hope we can still be friends. He hasn't said that to you. He's not brought up the other person because either there is no other person or he's not serious with the other person. But he's not done being angry at you.
Yeah.
You do deserve this.
Yeah, I do.
Technically, you deserve up to 90 days using your own logic to stew in your own hateful juices. And he is going to have a little bit of fun with this one.
But if he didn't love me, he wouldn't care enough to F with me is what you're saying.
Yes.
That's
if he had,
lines.
If
that
he really had somebody, if he really was committed, he would all of a sudden feel a little bit guilty and probably say, and maybe take some pleasure in it, but say, I'm sorry, I'm in a committed relationship. Good luck to you.
Right now, of course, all men are not like me. I'm trying to be a better man than I was, obviously, but I used to take some kind of bizarre pleasure into talking to the girl I was living with at the time or engaged to at the time and talking to her on the phone about how much I loved her while getting a BJ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, from...
Oh.
Yeah.
Yourself or somebody?
No, some girl.
Oh, okay.
Some girl I met at a bar. I'd go, hang on, I got to call my girlfriend. And then have a whole conversation.
Who says chivalry's dead?
Well, I know we have to go, but I'd be interested to hear how you guys think I should proceed.
I think you shouldn't. Find a new guy. He's done. He said goodbye.
Well, here's how, and we'll proceed to a break after this, but you have no choice.
Yeah.
You have dropped off an application, and the guy said, we'll take a look at it, we'll call you. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Now, you calling the guy will only empower him.
Right.
Because he is going to love it every time he knows you're sitting on pins and needles. And there's nothing better than turnabout. And there's nothing about the there's nothing better than the worm turning and having his day. That's what he's doing. I think the best thing you could do is nothing.
Just vanish.
Physically leave the studio now. Danny will do the news in the 9 o'clock hour. No. Leave him alone. Don't obsess. But I think if you leave him alone, I give him 72 hours before
really?
He contacts you. Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Danny, you think 72 hours?
Yeah, I think in 72 hours, his girlfriend's going to call and say, if you ever call here again, I'm going to snap a restraining order against you.
All right. We need to take a break. Oh, don't worry. We'll keep you kids posted. Now, listen, Mr. Wright, if you're listening and you were planning on contacting T within 72 hours, be honest and do it. Don't wait for 73 just to make me wrong.
And don't not do it just to make me write her that I've made you feel like you're not tough if you do it. If you love her, you'd be such a puss not to call because I said so.
By the way, I love that all these people, look at the phone lines. I so appreciate that people care this much about my love life, but one of them says that I need to fire my therapist.
That's right, out of a can. Marlise Elizabeth is coming on next. Elizabeth Cass, that is. She wrote a book, Tabloid Prodigy. I think she grew up in the system. She was a tabloid reporter, can tell us the ins and outs. What used to be stories about Martians and Bigfoot is now turned into celebrity stories that Danny tells us are about
accurate.
100% true when it comes to him.
They've never been wrong about me, ever. Not once.
Yeah. We'll talk
details that no one could have known.
We'll talk to her about that life, the inner workings of the tabloids next.
at 6 on Hallmark. Don't watch A Place Called Home. A proud widow's deteriorating sight causes her to take in a drifter and his precocious daughter. At 7 on Food Network, be sure to miss Ace of Cakes, the making of a $2,000 bar mitzvah cake shaped like King Kong. And at 7:30 on DIY, definitely don't watch Desperate Landscapes. A rusty fence is fixed. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Marlise Elizabeth Cassis here. Tabloid Prodigy is the name of her book. You shouldn't be behind a typewriter, baby. You should be in front of a camera.
Nice.
Pause moves. Drink of water. Easy on the eyes.
She's very buff. Look at her arms.
Yeah.
She's a surfer. Nice cut up.
She likes extreme sports. So let's talk about...
Some people consider me an extreme sport.
I can see that.
Yeah. You could go bungee jumping.
That's a wave you don't want to surf.
Yeah. Or you could have sex with Monaducci. No, sure. That's an adrenaline rush. Let's talk tabloids for a second. Because as I was saying, I grew up seeing these tabloids. It's all UFO crap and all, you know, I'm pregnant with a Martian and all that. And now it's pretty much strictly celebrity. And because they will be sued out of existence, I guess they're fairly accurate these days.
Right. Well, you know, I can only speak from my own experience. But when I was working for the tabloids, I mean, my stories had some sort of nugget of truth in every story I was writing. I'd have three sources, mm-hmm. I'd back everything up with lie detector tests, photographs, documentation.
And some of your tactics were a little less than honorable, right? I mean, you'd go undercover, you'd crash weddings as a guest. It says here that you dress as like a schoolgirl. I'd like to see that outfit after the show,
really?
By the
that
way.
Is not
right on.
And tennis player, things like that. Right. I mean, what would you do? How would you infiltrate? Let's say there was a big celebrity wedding and you're aware of it. You find out when it is, where it is. How do you go about infiltrating it?
Well, you know, all these identities that I took on, those were my own identities. I wasn't given that assignment by an editor. I was given the deadline, and what I did in between then was up to me. Mm-hmm. So, for example, one of my first assignments was trying to get into the wedding of William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
And the editors hired 12 reporters in paparazzi, mm-hmm. and one by one they were each caught. And what I did in the end is I said, I'll go in. And they said, no, Marlise, you're the rookie. We just want you to watch and see how the business works. Don't get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I'm going in. So I took a wine glass in one hand.
Mm-hmm. Time for backup.
And I took some high heels and I squatted in the bushes outside of William Shatner's house,
mm-hmm.
and pretended to be a drunk wedding guest,
mm-hmm.
Who was using the bathroom. And next thing I knew, the security guard came over and said, ma'am, you have got to get back into that wedding.
Uh-huh.
There's paparazzi everywhere. They're going to put you on the cover tabloid. Get in there.
Oh, wow. Right.
So I got into the wedding and I had a camera in my sleeve. And I
Right, because
camera.
They were looking for fat, bald guys who were sweating about the brown, not beautiful young women squatting in the bushes.
Right.
So you get in, and what other stories did you break in your X amount of years? Now, you seem very young, but you got in very young, I guess.
Right. Well, I entered the business when I was 22. So, mm-hmm. and I was naive. I come from a very conservative background, long line of missionaries. My father was a minister. So I didn't even know what a tabloid was,
mm-hmm.
when I went for the job. And I just worked my way up. And eventually I broke over 200 stories in the 3 years that I was
there. Well, I'm reading here Leonardo DiCaprio's Tangled Web with Tobey Maguire.
Mm.
What is that one, for instance?
Well, we had received some photographs of Leo in mm-hmm. a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
And because the photos were taken underwater, we didn't know what those photos were exactly. So mm-hmm. the editor said, you know what? We want you to move in next door to him at the Chateau Marmont Hotel mm-hmm. and find out what is going on in this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
everything.
And there was a lot going on, definitely. So I ended
Leo's
up,
living at the hotel.
So is Lindsay Lohan. Everybody's living there right now.
Right.
And he was actually in Thailand at the time filming the beach mm-hmm. when I was there. So I ended up buying up, as we say, all of the hotel staff
mm-hmm.
from the pool boy to the maids.
Yeah,
to
now how
guards.
Does that work? You grease these guys' palms and they tell you if something's going on?
Well, you know, if you give them enough money, they'll talk,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we ended up paying them $5,000 each.
Each?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
To give us information.
Well, like you give the pool boy $5,000?
The pool, yeah, the pool boy, I didn't give $5,000, but what security, nothing. I gave
them nothing. They didn't go as far as I thought you would.
No. And you give security $5,000, and they give you what?
The information. So from the security guards, I got the security logs. Mm-hmm. They gave me security tapes of what was going on in there. And you know, it was leaning towards what the editors wanted is to prove that Leo was gay. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have enough information to prove that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, my job was not to judge the celebrities, it was just to cover them.
Right.
So I ended up seeing some more photographs. And mm-hmm. at the time, Toby was not famous.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know who he was. So I had to get an ID on the photograph. Mm-hmm. Ended up running a number, and it went back to his mother. Mm-hmm. So I spoke to Wendy McGuire, mm-hmm. and I called her, and I just said, just spontaneously, I said, hi, my name is Marlise, and I work for a gay and lesbian publication, and I'm doing an article on the sexuality and sexual expression of Hollywood celebrities. I want to know what you think about your son and Leo and how comfortable they are with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
And so she said, oh, I was wondering when this call is going to happen. Yeah, well, so my son and Leo, they're the crossover between men and women. Growing up, they were in the same bed together. So she ended up giving me all these insinuations.
So Toby and Leo go way back?
Mm-hmm. They've been friends since growing pains. Wow.
One goes about 8 inches further back than the other.
And then in again? Wow! Well, hold on.
Wait, Spider-Man and Titanic dude are gay?
No. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they do.
You know, okay, here's... Let me explain the difference between...
What's that crappy shoots out his wrist now?
Let me explain the difference between...
Have you seen the movie, huh?
Yes, there's gay. There's Bill pre-op, board-op Bill gay. Right. And then there's summer camp gay. Ryan laughing because he knows.
These guys are straight.
There's hand in the sock gay.
I mean, I'm not saying that they're gay. I'm just saying that the editors got exactly what they wanted.
Summer camp
gay. Did the mom say to you, no, these guys are just platonic friends?
No, she didn't. She told me... sarcastically, that when she said, Toby, look, you haven't had a girlfriend in years. Is there something that you want to tell me? And he said, yeah, right, Mom, I'm gay. Sarcastically. So, I mean...
But that doesn't print sarcastically.
It's, right.
It prints, yes, Mother, I'm gay.
Well, I didn't end up giving that to my editors because I knew that they would run with it.
We need to take a break.
Oh.
You name your kid Toby, you're asking for trouble. I mean, let's be honest. Some Dolly Parton and Don Johnson and George Michael, and we got OJ stories. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Marlise Elizabeth Cass is here, tabloid prodigy. And God bless you for your candor. A lot of people come in here with tell-all books and tell nothing.
Yeah.
We'll take a break, and we'll hear more next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Danny Bonaducci is single again. And Adam Carolla is throwing him a bachelor party.
With chicks and guns and fire trucks and hookers and drugs and booze.
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood.
All the things that make life worth living for.
Danny Bonaducci's bachelor party.
I'm going to bone this huge girl. You got to see this.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Marlise Elizabeth Cast in studio, author of Tabloid Prodigy. Cut her teeth at a very young age in the tabloid business, has been there and done that, wrote a book about it. We're talking about Leonardo and Toby. Now, you want to talk about Don Johnson. Mm-hmm. What about Don Johnson's San Francisco Vice?
Oh, yeah, that was an awful story. We received a
photo. What was it?
Well, we received photos of Don Johnson. It's a whole story. Photograph a timeline, and one shot is of him going, leaving his home, kissing his wife goodbye in the morning, then going to the red light district and walking into a porn shop, coming out with a bag of goodies, going to a gas station, emptying all those goodies, the packaging, and leaving the packaging there, checking into a hotel, 30 minutes later, checking out. So we had a photo that we bought. All these photos cost us
$50,000. $50,000 for a series of these photos. Now, who do you think is taking these photos? Is it somebody who's trying to sell them to you, or is it somebody, a private detective that's hired by the wife? Or
it's paparazzi.
And paparazzi will just, on a chance, or okay. So the guy who owns the sex shop will say, you know, Don Johnson comes by here every once in a while. And then the paparazzi will say, well, why don't I just go invest some time in Don Johnson?
Well, in this case, it was actually a paparazzi who followed Don Johnson.
Right, but he can't do it. Is he full time assigned to Don Johnson?
Yeah, some of these photographers will sit outside of the celebrities' homes.
It's really expensive, though.
And well, the thing is they can turn one photo and it's $50,000.
Right. That's your year. Right. So one good day.
He follows
the sucking toe picture of Lady Di and El Fayed. Mm-hmm. $1 million.
Right.
He follows Don Johnson over to Doc Johnson's.
I love this stuff.
He buys himself something with a crank on it and then dumps it off at a gas station, then goes to Now, the picture is what? Of what once he gets to the hotel?
Well, it's just him checking into this little slummy motel and coming out 30 minutes later.
Now, if I had those pictures, here's the way I would play it. Instead of sell it to you for 50, I'd sell it to him for 100.
See that?
I'd pull Don aside and say, look, I don't know what they're giving you for whatever crappy sitcom or whatever crappy show you're on now, but it's got to be worth at least a week's pay to get these pictures back.
Except I think that's a crime, extortion, right, Marlies?
That's blackmail.
Yeah. Yeah. What's he going to do? Run to the fuzz?
Yeah. Well, Don,
He
was in there for half an hour by himself?
Well, that was what we didn't know.
I would assume he was with somebody.
We didn't know what was going on, and we couldn't print those pictures unless we had the story and unless we had sources to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have three sources. That shows you how far the tabloids will go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I came in. So they sent me to San Francisco, and I went to that porn shop and said, look, I need someone to go on the record, and I will not mention your name. I'll just mention you as a source in the story, but I need you to
sign
this.
You're wearing glasses and a mustache,
of
right?
Of course,
right.
And a big wig and fake boobs and everything.
In Phoenix.
So I handed them a contract, and I said, you know, I'm not going to mention your name in the article, but I need you to sign this and say that you in fact sold Don Johnson these sex toys. And the person said, no, I won't do it, and I'm going to call the police if you come back.
Right. He's like, I have my dignity. Would you like to buy a fake vagina?
Right. Here's a blow up doll. So I ended up calling the editors, and they said, okay, Marlies, we've wasted enough time, enough money, come home.
Mm-hmm.
And just as I was going to the airport, I said, I have an idea.
You're not coming home without a story.
You are the Erin Brockovich of the tabloids.
Yes.
I got one more idea.
It was a dirty job.
Mm-hmm.
So I told them I would spend that whole evening working through the night, and I would go to all the porn shops in San Francisco and find out where he had been. I figured if Don Johnson had lived there for a long time, chances were he'd been visiting quite a number of porn shops. Well, I had never seen porn. My dad is a minister, and here I am, you know, working through the night, going from porn shop to porn shop to find out if Don Johnson has been there. It turns out I found three, and those people were willing to go on the record. And one of the shops gave me his credit card receipts, surveillance video, and it turned out that he wasn't just into porn. He was into gay porn.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, like, he was renting.
That does not make him gay.
I say
where there's smoke,
there's Fire Island.
That does not make him gay.
I mean, look, I'm not saying Don Johnson is gay. I'm telling you that when straight guys see graphic gay pornography, they can't stop vomiting.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is repugnant to straight guys. When straight guys see explicit gay porn, you have to avert your gaze. And these are the same guys who watch Evel Knievel bite it, trying to jump over Caesar's Palace 100 times in a row and laugh. That's right. That's how repugnant it is to us. All right, now wait a minute. We need to take ourselves another break. Screw the news. Marlies, I'm in love.
This is the news.
This is the news.
I am news.
I want to keep going with this.
Me too.
I got off the Don Johnson train when he was doing Nash Bridges. But they would promo Nash Bridges by saying, find out what Don and Cheech are doing this Friday. I'm like, don't use the guy's name. He's supposed to be a cop. Don't use the actor's name in the stupid promo where he's supposed to be playing a San Francisco vice cop.
What about the one where we stopped at the border with $1 billion in cash? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
$1 billion.
You know what? I don't think he's gay, but I think I want to party with Don Johnson.
I'm calling him right now for $1 billion.
Marlies Elizabeth Cast here, tabloid prodigy, back with more gossip next.
Wow.
Marlies Elizabeth Cast here.
I like her.
I do, too. She dishes the dirt. Tabloid prodigy is the name of her book. It has all the stories we've been talking about and then some. She got into the business early. Did it often, did it well, got out unscathed, and wrote herself a book. So we finished with Don Johnson. Bobby Brown, you said you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, Bobby Brown was a story that actually happened by accident. Mm-hmm. I was at a dance club in L.A. called Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. and I was sent there with a trial reporter who was testing out the business, and we were in the VIP area, and I was dancing, and Bobby Brown came over to me and started dancing with me.
Garden of Eden is a strip club?
No, it's a hip-hop club.
When I hear VIP, hip-hop. I think champagne room. I hear Garden of Eden, I think strip club.
No, no stripping at all.
I hear about you dancing.
Strictly dancing.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, I got a news flash. I got a little problem in my tabloids right now. Hey, Cub reporter, how about we do it Barry style? J4. She's hot and she types. All right. So anyway,
I type.
Puts the wood in your Woodward and Bernstein.
Oh, man.
Nice.
So he was dancing with you, you work for a tabloid.
Exactly. And this is, I have to admit, this is when I was addicted to the business. You know, mm-hmm. I just was hooked and it was like a drug. You know, I just wanted another headline and I wanted to break another story. So the trial reporter took out her camera and took a picture. Well, he saw the flash go off, went ballistic. Went over there, and she took the camera and stuck it in the couch, right? Mm-hmm. So we went out of the club running, and I said, hand me the film. Where did it go? She mm-hmm. said, I left it in the club, in the couch.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, she was fired the next day. Didn't last long. And so I said, okay, no big deal. We shouldn't have even gone there. That was a big mistake. You don't set up the celebrities. We don't do that.
Right.
And so the next evening, I'm driving down Sunset Boulevard. SUV pulls up next to me, tinted windows. Guy rolls down the window and says, hey, do you and your girlfriends want to come meet me for a drink at the Beverly Hills Hotel?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe in the lobby. What time? So the guy tells us what time to be there. I go there alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I, to this day, I do not know what I was thinking. But I go to the and I'm in the lobby.
Donuts.
Very close. No, it ended up being Bobby Brown and his posse. But I didn't know that was who was in the car.
Uh-huh. Now, did he tail you and know you were in the club, or is this pure coincidence?
Coincidence. This is 24 hours later.
Mm-hmm. And his posse and him are just cruising for chicks.
Right.
And they're trying to set him up with chicks?
Yeah.
And you're just a cute chick who's driving down the street.
And I'm just minding my own business. Right?
And this is how long ago?
This was, ages ago. This was in 99.
But he's married to Whitney.
Right. And at the time, their marriage was fine.
Sure.
Or so everyone thought.
Sounds like it.
Right? So he sees me as soon as I get into the hotel, and he said, you're that bitch who set me up last night and who was dancing with me.
Bobby Brown I know doesn't use that kind of language.
Well, yeah, he said that mean girl
mm-hmm.
who set me up last night, you meanie. And I said, you know, I have no clue who you are. You know, my name is Jennifer. I'm a UCLA student. So we sat down, and they start drilling me because they don't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what's your major? And I mm-hmm. said, art. And they said, what type of art are you doing right now? I said, impressionist. And I just started lying. And they said,
how long do you think it's going to take to fool Bobby Brown's posse about a higher education?
It took me about 30 seconds. And they
said, what is your emphasis?
They ran into two painters, and one's named Escher.
I know Dr. Mahoney. He heads up the department, the impressionist department over at UCLA. Tell me about the man.
Then they wanted you to explain pointillism. Right.
When Picasso and Cubic didn't get it.
I told them about my artwork, and they dropped it. And they said, okay, girl, come ride with us
tonight.
Tell
me about Monet's Days of Giverny.
I did. I dropped Monet.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up going out again that night, and I was in his car and ended up getting six stories as a result of that
mm-hmm.
driving the car.
So the worst...
No, drop that. I did not do that.
Knocked out three.
Let's see. So you want to talk about your worst... So your worst nightmare as a celebrity, your wife's back in Georgia, you're over in Atlanta or wherever part of Georgia she's in. She's hanging out at the home, taking care of the kids. You're going out to L.A. on some business. Meanwhile, you're cruising chicks. You pick up a hot young chick. You want to party with her. She's a tabloid reporter.
Well, you wouldn't know. I mean, Marlise is very, very attractive.
She is, and you can find out simply by buying her book. Tabloid Prodigy is the name of it. It is Dishing the Dirt. And again, You think she's dishing some good stuff on the radio. Check this baby out. It is not flimsy. It is hardcover and big and kept at that place that hides the books every once in a while, right?
The library.
The library. Yeah, that's right. Marlise Elizabeth Cass, thank you very much. Come back anytime you like.
Thank you.
Quick break. We'll be right back to wrap up after this. Don Magic Wand. Ameriscape. America Skate. That's the name of the EmericaSkate.com is where you go for his fantabulous shoes. And Marlise Elizabeth Cass, tabloid prodigy. Look for it. She is a sweetheart. Out now. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
I bedazzle because I dig it.